scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
In order to get to heaven, you need to accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior.
Done. I f***ing love him. What else?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You're like in your little tie, your little shoes, like, you know.
I'm in my little tie and my little shoes? What the hell does that mean?
Do the math. It's on video.
Well, here's the thing with that champ. That's short for champion. If you want to be a talk show host, it's better if you're funny. Now, there have been some guys who are not funny. Tom Snyder, David Susskind, Ted Koppel. But funny's better. Now, have you ever had any experience with being funny?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right, got it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's crazy. I couldn't imagine getting my arm bit off by a shark.
Roll another one.
Yeah, we in here. We in this
just
thing.
Like the other one.
I was not impressed
this
at all.
Seems to be about to quit.
That's a bunch of hogwash.
Another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
No to that too.
Roll another one.
Hey, One Direction. What are you guys putting in your hair?
Just like the other one.
Wheatins. Wheatins. Wheatins.
This one seems to be about to.
No, that's not true.
I don't have another sense.
The only time a man is allowed to think about another man is when that man is Jay Cutler.
That joint.
Oh no, I pepper sprayed Ralph.
Just pass it around.
Why? Have you ever? Why?
That joint, my friend.
Tell me what it's like being in prison.
And now,
Lisa May, your rack is amazing. And Beer Mug, it's astonishing how fat you are.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show for Friday morning.
Remember when we were making fun of Muggs because 2013 was going to be the year he was going to turn it around. He was going to get to the gym and start losing the weight and start eating and everything because he had just porked up over the holidays.
Right.
And he went that one day, and I guess he worked out for 20 minutes, and then he said he hurt himself. And then we asked him, like 2 weeks went by, and we asked him, hey, Muggs, how's it going? Well, I haven't gone back yet. I haven't started it up again yet, but I'm going to get to it. I'm serious about it. No, don't get me wrong. I'm definitely going to do it.
And he's not limping. His hamstring's fine.
Yeah.
It seems to be fine, yeah. Is that what's the status on that, Muggs?
Yeah, about that. I haven't found the motivation to go back.
I haven't found the motivation. Well, technically 2013 is not over.
Right.
Yes.
That's true.
There's still time.
It is funny that we do that phone topic every year, the people who make the New Year's resolutions, and then they break it sometime in the first few days, and then they just give up. Muggs is that guy. He's the poster child for that guy.
Well, I don't know. He wins that race because he never starts.
Right.
He went one time for 20 minutes.
Yeah, and it took him 2.5 weeks before he even did that in January.
But I'm saying people that say they don't want to smoke, at least make it an hour, you know?
Right.
And then he didn't make it any amount of time because he just never began.
And he was going to start his diet, but he wasn't going to start his diet till after he went to the gym.
Correct.
So that didn't happen for the first 2.5 weeks
and
of
now,
January.
And now, you can't start a diet now because the Super Bowl is right around the corner.
Right.
Right. It's a week from Sunday.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously, you don't want to be on a diet during the big game.
And then, in March, you have St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm. True. Mm-hmm. Good point.
I don't think I'm starting.
Good jump for a month and a half. It's pretty tough in that month and a half to get anything done.
Yeah. So you're aiming for April. Yeah.
Okay, April. After April Foolishness, though, right?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you know, because you wouldn't drink that night. Okay.
Partway into April.
he's a delight. Hey, I had a story that I was very interested in presenting to you tonight. In fact, I'm playing hurt today. I got a heavy heart. The America's favorite letter to the editor writer, the guy who's written more letters to the editor than any American, has died. But we're not going to have time to honor him this morning because I have to save that till Monday. I know, because you know he's my people. But I wanted to talk about Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yes.
Did you stay up and watch any of it last night?
I did not.
I taped it. Yeah.
This was one of the great late night talk show events of all time, because for years now, Jimmy Kimmel has been at the end of every show. Oh, I'm sorry to Matt Damon. We ran out of time. Oh, didn't make it to Matt Damon tonight. We'll reschedule. Every single night, like clockwork. Well, last night was the night that Matt Damon took revenge and hosted the Jimmy Kimmel Live show. And I'm hoping we'll have time to play some more clips from it later. But I thought instead of telling you about my elderly writer who died, I thought maybe we'd listen to a little bit of Matt Damon's monologue last
night. That's so much better than your stupid letter-writing idiot.
So spoiler alert if you're planning on watching the rest of the show, but here's what happened in the monologue. Jimmy is on stage. He is tied up. His mouth is taped. He is tied up to a chair. He's on the stage when Matt Damon comes out and starts hosting the program.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to tonight's episode of Jimmy Kimmel Sucks. I am your host, Matt Damon. Hey, just for starters, let me ask you guys this. As an audience, is it weird to see a person with actual talent host this show? I'm very excited to be here, obviously. Jimmy has bumped me from his show 1,205 times. For 10 years, every night I wait in that green room. And every night, Kimmel says, apologies to Matt Damon, we ran out of time. I've been waiting for this moment for a long, long time. This is like when I lost my virginity. Except this is going to last way longer than 1 second. Tonight, good triumphs over evil. I am Luke Skywalker, and Kimmel is the Death Star. Big and round and easily destroyed through his garbage hole. Look at him over there. Look at Jimmy over there with the gag in his mouth. You've never been funnier, my friend. Jimmy Kimmel is to late night talk show hosts what Magic Johnson is to late night talk show hosts.
So that's kind of an idea of how it went, and it never stopped. And then they started bringing out, I'm hesitant. I don't want to spoil it for people who might have seen it. So, you know, give me 1 minute to tell folks who won't watch it. But he said, well, let's get somebody to, you know, funny to do the monologue for a change. So he brings out Robin Williams to do the monologue.
Okay.
And he replaces Cleto with, you know, Sheryl Crow to lead the band. And then it's just guest after guest coming out and just telling awful stories about Jimmy, Nicole Kidman and Demi Moore and Gary Oldman and all these people, one right after another. And Sarah Silverman ends up coming out at the end of the show.
No kidding.
His, you know, girlfriend of 5 years or something like that, and just destroyed him.
That's how it all started, was I'm effing Matt Damon.
Yes.
Yep.
Her song, right?
And, of course, you know, Ben Affleck was there, too, doing his part. I mean, it just went on and on and on. It was just a brilliant show that it looked like it must have taken months to put together. But, I mean, Jimmy has just consistently, his show is the best of the late night shows. But he's never been better than he is right now since he's moved to 11:30. I mean, his shows have just been, every night has been unbelievable. Of course, he gets his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30. If folks want to go down, they can be part of that crowd right out in front of the theater where he does it in Hollywood. But definitely check it out if you haven't seen it yet. It's a great hour of television.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
My balls. Take them. Hold them. Rub them. Love them. And then eat them. Eat all of my balls.
What?
I'd rather.
Is that on the schedule?
No.
Okay. We're not doing that.
I'm looking at the schedule. I see no ball eating. Katrina Bowden is going to come into the studio, though.
Yes, she is.
She, of course, is on 30 Rock, and she's on the cover of the new Maxim magazine, if you're into
that sort of thing. Sure.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Hey,
we're having her in to honor her as a great actress on a great television show, Lisa. I don't know what you're thinking.
That's what I meant.
Right.
That's what I meant.
You underestimate us so much.
Not enough.
Billy Eichner is going to be in the studio. He's got a show called Billy on the Streets. It's on Fuse TV. We've put him in our internet roundup several times. Very funny.
He sure yells a lot.
He does. There's a lot of yelling going on. Comedian Frank Caliendo will be here.
Wow,
fantastic.
Haven't seen him in a while.
Thanks for that tweet, Bean.
No.
Yes.
I've been told both by Ralph and by Chip now that this might be the best batch ever.
Wow.
How dare you.
So good times. Monte Teo
gave an interview last night.
Oh, was this the Katie interview?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh.
Bean has highlights of that.
Excellent.
Movie Beat, it's Friday. Ralph will tell you what new movies are in the theater. And speaking of movies, it's second week for Mama. The director of that, Guillermo del Toro. I figured
the
key is to slow it down. Slow it down.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the program today as well.
Great.
So that's coming up. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
If you're just waking up to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, maybe you missed the announcement that the Coachella lineup is out. It was released last night. You can find all the details at KROQ.com and, of course, information on how to buy tickets and, I'm sure, soon how to win them here at the world-famous KROQ. It's Friday morning. Ralph Garman joins us. Good morning, Ralph.
Coachella.
How are you?
All right, Coachella.
Roddy, you going to go this year? You looking forward to it?
Yeah, I want to see. I want to see all the bands that I love.
Who are you most excited about?
All right, I want to see Nena.
Nena from 99
Luftballons? 99 Sich Luftballons.
Yeah, they, actually, Nena, I don't think, made the lineup this year.
Right.
I don't think she's on the bill. But
Tony Basil. Tony Basil.
Nope.
Oh, Mickey, Tony you're Basil's so fine.
No, I'm sorry.
Right.
A lot of other bands.
ABC.
I mean, like a, no, they're not. Actually, they're not going to be there
Look
either.
Look at Love.
Now, the Stone Roses, you probably like them. The Stone Roses are going to be playing. And Blur, I know you like them, too. They'll be there.
All right. It's Godhead.
Rodney would die at Coachella first day.
Yeah, he would.
I go to Coachella every year.
No,
you don't.
My GTO. It's Godhead.
What's it, where is Coachella, Rodney, if you go every year? Where is it?
Scotland.
Exactly. Well, you can get those details at KROQ.com. 5:55 now. What's going on, Ralph?
Hey, you people better get your act together. Before someone hires J.J. Abrams to run your life, he's taken over everything. The man who successfully rebooted Star Trek for Paramount has now been tapped by Disney to keep the Star Wars franchise alive. He will be directing...
What great news that is.
J.J. Abrams will be directing the seventh film in the series, which Disney hopes to release sometime in 2015. What a position to be in, to be in control of the two biggest science fiction franchises in history at the same time.
It's insane.
Oh, I can't wait for a Kirk Vader crossover. Oh, it's been the best film.
Kirk, you are my father.
I don't think so. Zulu, give me that lightsaber.
That's a Star Trek.
Your friend has pointy ears.
No official announcement from either Disney or J.J. Abrams' people yet, but the sources are pretty impeccable from inside his Bad Robot production company, saying that the deal is practically done. All it has to do is be signed off on. So it looks like it's going to happen. Yeah?
What? I haven't heard much grousing on this. You know, usually there are a lot of people ready to complain, but, I mean, he's got the total geek cred, so
look,
and he's a phenomenal filmmaker.
Guy, how do you go wrong with the sci-fi community when this is the guy who brought you Alias,
yeah.
Lost, Fringe, mm-hmm. and yeah. Star Trek.
He's perfect.
He does have a pretty good record when it comes to this kind of material.
Mostly Felicity, though. I mean, that's really what I'm looking at.
I bet you are. While we're talking about Star Trek, Patrick Stewart and his good friend Ian McKellen are teaming up on Broadway for a revival of Waiting for Godot.
All right.
Yeah, Kevin would not enjoy Waiting for Godot.
But, no, he would not.
He really would.
That sounds bad.
BS, what the hell's going on here? Understand? What? Who? The guy never shows up. It's been...
Hey, spoiler alert, Ralph.
I would get a nice nap.
That's true.
Yeah. Magneto and Professor X teaming up to be on Broadway. The audience will wait all night to see whether a Klingon or a Hobbit shows up. So we'll wait and see. Congratulations to my buddy Seth MacFarlane. Glad to see his empire is expanding as well. Just announced by Fox, they have ordered 6 episodes of a new live sitcom that Seth has created.
Fantastic.
Called Dads. About 2 successful men in their 30s whose nightmare fathers end up moving in with them. No word on casting yet, but Seth will be hands-on and running that show for Fox as well. And if it's Seth, you know it's got to be good.
How are you going to still do this show while you're waiting out in front of his production office for the auditions, Ralph?
No, I am not right for any of these roles, so I will not be doing that, but sure wish him the best. No one wants to see Arnold Schwarzenegger in a new movie, so maybe they'll want to see him in a retreaded old movie. He gave a press conference in London this week saying that he is signed to star in the new Terminator movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Arnold was in all three Terminator films, didn't participate in the fourth, but now says he will be in the next one. No word on any details regarding what role he will play.
No! No!
But I don't think you can strip him down and make him the robot again.
No.
Because he looks sort of saggy and craggy these days.
An old robot? Yeah. Old saggy robot?
My servos are not working the way they used to. You know what? I'm going to sit here for a minute. You go. I'll terminate you later.
I just don't think that would be very exciting. We'll have to wait and see. And in music news, sad, sad music news today.
Uh-oh.
The Mars Volta is no more. Cedric and Omar have announced that they're breaking up the band following a hiatus that they announced last year. So if you're a fan of that band, sad.
I love that band, by the way. Yeah, but they sure got weird the last couple of records. I'll tell you. Yeah. They sure got weird.
And good news for Depeche Mode fans. Delta Machine, their new album, will be out on March the 26th. You'll be hearing the first single, Heaven, on February the 5th, with a video showing up on February the 1st. So, new Depeche Mode music for the Mode fans, which is good. And best music news of the morning by far, Barry Manilow is very, very sick.
Oh, oh no!
Yeah. Right.
No, yeah. What's going on? Yeah. Come on!
Manilow had to cancel last night's opening performance of his Broadway show, Manilow on Broadway. Way to kick things off, Barry. Yeah, he was able to get through one preview. And then for opening night, he had to cancel. So are tonight's and Saturday's shows.
We should talk to him, see if he's feeling okay.
He has... he has bronchitis, apparently. That's what they're saying. Some people close to him are saying he's got fluid in his lungs, and that's not the only place he has fluid. Apparently all of his orify are filled with fluids, and no
USA!
Yeah.
USA!
Very sad. Very sad to hear that.
It'd be great when he died.
How dare you?
That would be hilarious.
Only because he's not an old woman like that. Come on.
Only because of Bean's
I love him so much.
Destruction. His life would be over.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Mia Kirshner from The Vampire Diaries and The L Word. She's 38 years old today. Christine Lakin from Step by Step and The Kilborn File. She is 34.
Belle? No Belle. I don't know Christine Lakin.
Yeah, she's attractive. Yeah, you can go ahead. Alicia Keys is 32. And another star of The Vampire Diaries, Michael Trevino, celebrates his 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All right, here's what's been going on. We've been all making fun of Manti Te'o for the past couple of weeks or so since it was revealed that he had essentially been dating a woman for 4 years that it turned out didn't exist.
Right.
And Kevin, you especially have been, how can somebody be so stupid? And I'm like, hold the phone there. Slow down a little bit. Doesn't necessarily mean he's dumb. I can certainly see how something like this could have happened. Here's what I'm going to say after watching Manti on the Katie Couric show for an hour yesterday. He's not just dumb. He's dumb for a football player.
Wow.
He can barely have a conversation. He's so dumb. I could sell this guy, seriously, I could sell him the Empire State Building in a minute. I really could. The guy's a tard.
Oh, my God.
thank God he can play football.
Now, he plays linebacker, right?
That's correct, okay. Yes. Yeah, doesn't have to be. He's not even in a smart position. But Katie came right out of the gate with the question, the central question of the whole mystery.
Manti, did you have any involvement in creating the scam?
No, I did not. I think what people don't realize is that the same day that everybody else found out about this situation, I found out.
All right, so that's his story, and he definitely is sticking to it, that he doesn't have anything to do with it. And Katie will ask him in a little bit, what about after you found out that this person was dead and then alive? Why did you continue to still tell people she was dead? You know, and he will answer that question. But primarily he's saying he did not know until it was revealed in the Deadspin article that she didn't exist at all. That's when he found out.
But how long was the relationship, did you say?
Wasn't it on and off for 4 years?
Yeah.
Was it 4 years?
Yes.
And he never met her.
Never met her, right.
Now, what the guy, dumbass.
Someone didn't really want a girlfriend.
The guy who apparently created the hoax, the guy who is the one who represented this chick, Lanai Kakua, online, and the one who was the person on the voicemail. And by the way, I'll have a voicemail for you in a couple minutes if you wondered how he could have been fooled by a dude pretending to be a girl. I'll play some of the voicemails for you here in a minute, too. So when the story broke, this guy, Ronaya Tuasopopo, which is not at all how you pronounce it, he calls Manti to apologize and to say, hey, I'm the guy behind all this, and I'm really sorry that I hurt your feelings. All right? So Katie asks about that phone call.
He just basically expressed, you know, and just explained what he did and why he did it. And
did he say why he did it?
He didn't say why. He just explained that he just wanted to help people, and that was his way of helping people. Of, you know, being someone that he wasn't and trying to connect with somebody on a different level to help him out.
And what did you say to him?
Well, obviously, it didn't really help me out.
Now, what kind of an explanation is that?
That's a non-explanation explanation.
I was just trying to help people by pretending to be somebody that I'm not. And
liar!
And Manti is like, well, that didn't help me, dude. How are there not a million follow-up questions to this guy that you're friends with who just hoaxed you for all this time? How do you accept that explanation?
Yeah, that it's supposed to help anyone.
Right. Who gets helped by this? The guy was clearly just enjoying jerking this dude around.
And wasn't
right?
this guy a church leader or something?
Yes. Yes. Yes, he was.
The hoaxer.
So Katie presses Manti on being caught in at least one lie where he tells people that he met the girl.
The Sports Illustrated reporter who wrote your cover story has made some of the transcript of your interview available. He asked you, quote, how did you meet her? And you responded, we met just, she knew my cousin. Later you told him you met at a USC game your sophomore year, that you were just friends then. Can you see why people would view this as, at worst, as a complete lie, and at best, as incredibly misleading?
Mm-hmm. What do you think his answer is going to be to this, by the way? Do you see how people would view this as a lie, or at least misleading? I mean, there's no answer other than no to that, right?
I would think just it has. That's just a blatant lie. There's not even a misleading part of it.
I can see that, and for that, you know, for people feeling that they're misled, you know, that I'm sorry for. But I wasn't as forthcoming about it, but I didn't lie.
Oh.
You know, I never was asked, did you see her in person?
Oh, I said that I met her at a football game, but nobody ever asked if I saw her in person. So technically I wasn't a lie.
This is like a short busser trying to lie to regular people, to a Mensa member.
And I wish that Katie had pressed him harder on these. I wish she had really drilled down like Oprah did on Lance Armstrong and really make him say what he means. But she really let him skate a little bit. All right. One of the questions that we've asked about this relationship on the internet is how at some point, especially, you know, if you're a dude and she's a chick, do you not try to get her on Skype or FaceTime, right?
Of course.
You want to definitely see her at some point. This I had not heard before the interview with Katie Couric yesterday, but here's what Manti had to say to that question.
You attempted a few times to talk with her through FaceTime, and you would see basically what a black box, and she right. would say to you, I can see you.
Yeah.
I don't know why you can't see me.
Correct.
Didn't you think that was a little weird?
To be honest, no.
No?
I didn't.
Is there anything that surprises
wow.
this guy?
Wow.
Did you think that?
Don't you just see NFL teams all over the country going, scratch that name off?
Yeah, he failed the Wunderlich test of life. Well, he goes on to describe the computer problems that kept him from seeing his girlfriend.
Are you that technologically challenged? I am, but someone your age shouldn't be, right?
Yeah, I saw a black screen, and yeah, she said, I can see you, and I can see me. You should be able to see me. As I don't know what's wrong with your camera, but I can't see you. I wasn't paying attention, I guess.
No, you sure weren't paying attention
for
Manti.
4 years.
Well, I don't think he was trying to see her online for that long.
How Remember, long they were, do you think? At 2 years into it, he had to have.
Yeah, he says they were friends first, and then at some point it turned romantic, I guess.
How
does it turn romantic? He's never met her.
Well, one of the theories that was going around after the story broke was that maybe this was all just an embarrassing cover-up because he was gay and he was pretending to have a girlfriend. And it's awfully convenient because you don't have to have any of that icky sex if she doesn't exist and you don't see her in person. So Katie did ask him that question.
One of the theories, many theories, Mantine making the rounds, is somehow you created this whole scenario to cover up your sexual orientation. Are you gay?
No. Far from it. Far from that.
It's the first time we've seen any kind of personality out of this guy, by the way, is just how far he's tried to distance himself from being gay.
So he's saying he has had sex, just not in the last 4 years.
That's another question Katie didn't ask is, okay, look, you've got this imaginary girlfriend who lives at best in another state, even if she's real. You're not dating anybody else. No wonder people are thinking that you're gay because you're going year after year without ever meeting this woman or having sex with anyone.
I don't
right?
buy his answer to that question.
I think the guy is gay, too.
Well, it could be. Could be.
Because,
well,
his name is Popo?
That's his last name. Something Popo, right?
Tuas Popo. Yeah, Tuas Sopo. Yeah, it's a tough name. I'm very bad with all of these names. So he goes on, I'm not gay. Far from it. Far, far from it.
As you mentioned, you did try to see her in person on multiple occasions. Mm-hmm. And she would always come up with an excuse as to why she couldn't meet you.
Mm-hmm. How many times in a row, Kevin, would you accept an excuse as to why? I'm in the same town as you, or in some cases in Hawaii, and I'm in the same state as you. Let's get together. It's always no. How many times in a row do you let that slide?
I don't know. Two?
I mean, really?
I mean, as this happened repeatedly, didn't you think there is something really fishy going on here?
For me, I guess I was just so caught up in the whole thing that it was like, okay, she can't see me. And she would give me good reasons, too. She'd say, oh, my brother's at my car.
Oh, my brother has my car.
Oh, that is a good reason.
I'd love to see you. Look, what straight guy who has this girlfriend for years is not going to walk as far as he has to walk to get to her,
I will walk across Hawaii if that's what it takes to meet you.
Exactly.
Or, you know, I'm in the hospital or, you know, I wasn't going to tell a person who just came out of a coma, like, oh, you need to call and come and see me right now.
Okay, we're not going to have time to get into any
just
of the coma
came out
stuff.
Of a coma.
They told him that she was in a coma and they would hold the phone up to her breathing tube and he would talk to her for hour after. I mean, it just went on and on
He's
and on.
He's the dumbest man alive.
He
and
might
that
be.
Is evil, by the way.
He actually might be. Him. Yes, both are true. He's dumb and it's evil. All right, one more clip because we're out of time. Manti Te'o on the Katie Couric TV show yesterday. Here's one of the voicemails that his quote unquote friend left as the girl that he thought he was dating.
I'm just letting you know you got here, and I'm getting ready for my first session.
She's talking about her first session. This is her calling as she's going into chemo, by the way, for the cancer she never had because she doesn't exist. So you tell me if this sounds like a girl.
And I'm just going to call you, keep you posted. I miss you. I love you. Bye.
Doesn't it sound like a girl?
It does.
It's a girl, doesn't it?
Yeah. You have no idea who the voice on the other end of the phone was for all those months.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Renaya could have been playing the role of Lene? Do you think that might have been a man on the other end of the phone?
Well, it didn't sound like a man. It sounded like a woman. But if he somehow made that voice, that's incredible. That's incredible talent to do that, especially every single day.
How much phone sex did he have with a dude on the other end of the phone pretending to be a girl?
Oh, my God.
And by the way,
these two should just get together.
They really should. You know,
so much sexual tension after all these years together.
That's if you don't suspect that it's a guy, I think it's believable.
Totally.
It is sounds believable. Like a girl.
Totally believable. It doesn't take that much talent, though, to sound like a woman.
No, it doesn't. I totally agree with you, Kevin. Until you put it together with, oh, now you can't see me. Oh, you can't visit me in person. I mean, everything adds up to the fact that there were so many red flags. But this guy is so dumb, honestly. I can't believe he doesn't drown, you know, by having his mouth open in the rain. I really am surprised that he's survived to this age.
He's got time.
The truth.
He's got time. He can still eat rain.
Well, I think you're awfully. I think you're dead on. By the way, that there are a lot of NFL scouts who are thinking, "Oh, that linebacker from Notre Dame, super tough." Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, no, never mind. No.
So much show to come here on the Kevin and Bean program for a Friday, including director Guillermo del Toro just after 7 o'clock, and funny man Frank Caliendo coming in next hour as well. It is Friday, as I mentioned. That means it's time for the movie beat with Rob Garman.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Lots of interesting films opening up this weekend. Something for everybody, I might say. Let's start off with a film that I actually got to see and loved. And the reason I sought this one out and wanted to see it early is because it's directed by Don Coscarelli, who is one of my favorite directors. He is a weird dude who makes little weird movies. And I love them. He started off, I guess he got his big break. He's most known for doing the Phantasm series. If you're a horror movie fan, you know about the Phantasm films. It's got that sphere, flies around and drills a hole in your forehead.
I think I saw those.
You've never seen the Phantasms?
I don't think so.
Oh, for God's sake.
Sounds like something I would like, though.
They're the best. And, of course, he also did Beastmaster. Let's not forget that cable classic. With Mark Singer, he talks to animals. Oh, Kevin, you're at a loss. I know you saw one of my other favorite films that he wrote and directed called Bubba Hotep.
That I did see.
Story of Elvis Presley and John F. Kennedy as a black man fighting mummies. I know it sounds insane,
story.
But it is wildly entertaining and clever and interesting and original. And his new film is called John Dies at the End. And this film is honked up, but in the best possible way. If you're tired of old cliche, hackneyed, same old when you go to see the movies, you should check out John Dies at the End. It is a comedy. It's a horror film. It's a science fiction film. It is. Did you ever see Buckaroo Banzai? Did you ever see that film?
Nope.
It reminds me of that kind of film. Just clever and funny and interesting and weird and completely original. It's based on a novel. And Coscarelli has taken it and made it into a feature film, and it's so entertaining.
Do we need a spoiler alert just for the title alone?
Well, the title is true but misleading.
Okay.
It's hard to explain. In fact, it's hard to say anything about this film because it's so wild and out there. It's really hard to put into a nutshell. But I mean, you know, it's got the basic things: people talking into a bratwurst like a cell phone, and flying mustaches, and giant spider crab monsters, and you know, that kind of thing. You know, that same old stuff.
I'm gonna have to get high before I see this. There
is some drug related comedy in there as well that I think you'll probably appreciate. It is a very entertaining film. You're just gonna have to trust me on this one. Great cast. Paul Giamatti is in this film in a supporting role. He's great in it. He's also one of the producers of this film. Clancy Brown, some of the names you may know. Danny Roebuck, Chase Williamson, Rob Mays. Here is a scene from the film where Dave, the character of Dave, is trying to convince Paul Giamatti, who plays a reporter, that he's actually experiencing these paranormal things that he's experiencing. John and Dave are two slackers just out of high school who are basically like Ghostbusters. They investigate paranormal activity and they take down evil forces.
Okay.
And so he's trying to convince Paul Giamatti's reporter character that this stuff really happens. And he tries to prove it by making him look into a cage where he's got this hideous demon creature caged up. But thing is, you can't see it if you have like a closed-minded normal person. You have to kind of look at it out of the side of your eye in order to get a glimpse of it. And that's what happens to Paul Giamatti when he meets Dave Wong.
Oh, what the is that? How the did you do that? What the is that thing? What the man?
There's no name for it in this world. It's pretty freaky, though, right?
Wait, no. You made me see something. You made me see something out of my own head. You freaked me out so that I would see something.
No, it's really there. I'm surprised you saw it so easily, though. You must have an open mind. Most people only see it that fast if they're stoned or drunk.
Yeah, the stoner drunk. That's when you see the demons.
He sounds great, Giamatti.
Giamatti's always great.
Yeah, he is.
But again, it's a supporting role that goes throughout the film, but he's very entertaining. And he fell in love with the novel, too. That's why he signed on as the producer. And it's a really entertaining, weird, quirky film. If you love horror films and comedy, you will really enjoy this. It's in limited release, so you're going to have to seek it out if you want to find it. But I really recommend John Dies at the End. Also opening up this weekend is Parker. Parker stars Jason Statham doing what he does best, which is just kicking ass and boning. That's pretty much what he does. This time he gets to bone Jennifer Lopez.
All right.
Yeah. He plays a thief who has to go up against his crew that double-crossed him and get the money that is due him. Here is Jennifer Lopez and Jason Statham from Parker.
People in Palm Beach are sharp, very sharp. And people like you only come down here for one reason, money. And I don't know what you're into, kidnapping, extortion, robbery. But whatever it is, you're going to need somebody who knows the territory. Or you're going to get caught.
Take off your clothes.
What?
I'm not sure if I'm better off with you alive or dead. Either way, I have to know if you're wearing a wire.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, trust me. He looks for more than a wire when his clothes come off. Unless she's got a wire someplace.
Can there be a wire there?
They don't usually have a wire. There's all kinds of investigating going on.
Well, you gotta check, though. I mean, come on.
By now, you've seen the commercials, the trailers for Movie 43, and you're asking yourself, what the hell is Movie 43?
Good question.
Interesting, interesting film. This was directed by a bunch of people. Stars a bunch of big-name movie stars. It's been made over the past 4 years under the guidance of the Farrelly brothers. And what they've done is, as their friends became available, they would shoot a short little film over a couple days. And then at the end of 4 years, they stitched them all together. All these R-rated, raunchy little comedy vignettes that they filmed, they put them together into one film. And they tied it together with the very loose narrative that some kids are on the internet trying to find this movie called Movie 43, the most banned movie in the world.
Oh, okay.
And all they can come up with are little snippets of the film, and those snippets are these scenes that were directed and performed by all these big stars. It's raunchy, it's crazy, it's out there, and as you can tell by the trailers, I mean, it looks like every star in Hollywood is in it, from Halle Berry to Elizabeth Banks and Emma Stone, Stephen Merchant, Liev Schreiber, Richard Gere. A lot of them stopped by. Here are some clips from the trailer of Movie 43.
Win or lose, I am so proud of y'all. You're gonna win. What game are we playing?
Basketball, coach.
What color is this kid?
White.
Y'all gonna kill those Caucasians.
But look at the fundamentals.
The fundamentals, you're black, they're white. This ain't hockey.
Something I want to ask you.
There's something I'd like to ask you. Will you f*** on me?
Wait, what did you say?
I want you to be my first.
Truth or dare?
Dare.
See that blind kid over there?
I dare you to blow out his candles before he gets a chance to.
Yeah, it looks insane. Mm-hmm.
Might it be good?
Yeah, I think it could be, because did you ever see Kentucky Fried Movie?
Loved it.
Yeah, that's another movie that was done by the, who are the brothers at the airplane?
The Zuckers, Abraham Zucker. Yeah.
Yeah, the Zuckers. And they just took a bunch of crazy scenes and sketches and just stitched it all together into a movie. It ended up being hilarious. Once again, really good at your stuff.
They're going to have to be good at it.
Yeah.
And Farrelly Brothers could pull that off.
And this stuff looks wild and crazy. And like I said, there's a bunch of their friends directed the segments as well. So they just sort of oversaw the project. But it looks like it could be very entertaining. You may want to check that out this weekend. Something different as opposed to your usual movie comedy. And lastly, the movie I am very much looking forward to seeing this weekend, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Yeah.
Not only because of Jeremy Renner's amazing physical presence and all the great stuff he does in action films, but that Gemma Arterton, she is... Kind of fell in love with her a little bit when she came in earlier this week to talk to us. She's beautiful and funny and talented, and she can kick some ass from everything.
She texted me all night, Ralph.
It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Saying, you don't know anything? Is that what she texted you? You're pretty worthless.
You're bad at your job?
You can't say my name, and you've never heard of Hansel and Gretel? Did she text you those things? Here's some clips from the trailer of Hansel and Gretel, Witch Killers. Hunters.
In the last 2 weeks, we've had 5 witch attacks.
A witch does not come out in the open like that.
There's something else going on here.
What is this place?
This is our old house. Our parents didn't abandon us. They were murdered.
You finally found your way home.
Oh, my God.
You know what I say? Burn them all.
Burn them all! Famke Janssen stars as the super badass bad witch in this. And if you know the fairy tale, you know the Hansel and Gretel were almost killed by a witch. And this movie is very smart. It extrapolates that out into them seeking out vengeance against all witches as a grown-up brother and sister team. Looks wildly entertaining. It's available in 3D. Also, you can check that out. So a lot to choose from this weekend. If you're looking for a weird little film, I highly recommend John Dies at the End. If you're looking for a big-budget blockbuster popcorn movie, Hansel and Gretel looks like a lot of fun. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
And yet another chance for you to qualify to go see Black Keys at Lollapalooza in Brazil. We've got all the details for that at KROQ.com. Your chance to get in on it at 9:10 this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. And of course, while you're on the website, be sure to check out all the details on the just announced Coachella Music Festival, which is coming up the weekends of April 12th and April 19th. Tickets going on sale Tuesday at 10. All those details at KROQ.com.
It's time for
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
Do we have to?
Do you have to?
Do you have to is a good question. It's a better question.
Why do you do this? Stop it.
What are you referring to?
Tweeting!
I tweet just like everybody else does.
No.
Not even close.
No.
Look,
no.
I don't have a soft porn empire like Kevin
Thank
does.
You.
I'd rather look at Kevin's girls all day long than read one of your tweets. One of your inane, ridiculous, minutia-filled, brain-numbing tweets.
You can follow me on Twitter.
No, don't follow him.
At Clyde. What's the problem here, though? What is it you're complaining about specifically? Maybe if you could narrow it down for me, I'd know what you're saying.
Well, maybe it's tweets like this.
The Angry Whopper is a new Burger King sandwich, too? I only know the sex move.
Come on.
Thanks for that tweet.
What's wrong with that?
What's right with that?
What is
right with
that?
Is it supposed to be funny or clever or interesting or
it's supposed to be
helpful or informative?
I think that's what I was shooting for. I think I was shooting for Angry Whopper, which they're advertising as their new sandwich.
Thanks for that tweet.
Yeah, it's a new sandwich. Yeah.
Hey, Bean, can I just butt in here and say, like I always have to, we don't need further clarification.
Serious question. It's 2013. Isn't it time to stop wasting our time with people who believe in horoscopes?
Who's with me, by the way?
Who thinks about horoscopes?
You're addressing the horoscope crisis now, finally?
Yes,
finally.
I am.
You're tackling the controversial subject of horoscopes?
Why does astrology still exist?
Because some people like to read them.
But it's stupid.
Right. So most of us that think it's stupid just write it off and never pay attention to it.
Right. I'm
not circling back around so that I can change society with one tweet.
So yay to Chico's number one Thunder 100.7, who are 50,000 watts and pumping wattage to your cottage. I wonder if they also rule the schools.
I was just surprised that 2013 to see a radio station that was still saying things like that.
Can't you go on radionerds.com or whatever message board you belong to and talk to your other radio freak friends who give a rat's ass about that kind of crap?
Who do you think cares about whatever station that is?
What's the target audience for that tweet?
I do have a lot of people in radio that follow me on Twitter that I think would have enjoyed very much reading.
Thanks for that tweet.
It never ends with the radio tweets, by the way.
Oh, no, really?
Hey, 19, Hair, SOS, and Little Red Riding Hood, all heard in the last half hour on Vinyl Radio Northwest. That's why I listen.
What the God. F is happening?
F you.
That's that tweet.
A little promotion for that internet station that I enjoy so much. It's good stuff. Is this thing on? Hello?
Unfortunately, yes.
Remember how sad you were the day you realized Cutting Crew wouldn't be putting out another album?
That was tweeted. That went out over the Twitterverse.
Cutting Crew comedy.
That's the I Just Died in Your Arms, guys.
Yeah?
Why would you...
We're speechless. Do you notice that? We're speechless.
I do notice that.
Was just informed my wife's inauguration day only sex policy only includes first terms.
Okay, I kind of like that one.
See, thank you, Lisa.
That was amusing.
See, because it's inauguration day.
Tweet.
Bean.
Thinking I'm going to get something.
Tweet.
Bean.
Find out.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean. Usually I have to go to Reader's Digest to find comedy of that quality.
Highlights magazine.
Bean somehow manages to bring it to Twitter.
I see that we're out of time.
No, we're not. Because this is the best one. No, we got one more. You're not getting away without this spectacular tweet.
What?
Not trying to be controversial, but But I'm just saying that Car Wash is the best ever song about a car wash.
Oh. Yay!
You can't play the kids yelling yay sound
that's
effect.
That's not me. That's just the kids. They enjoyed that one.
No one. You know why? Because those kids weren't born when Car Wash was on the radio or in the theaters.
Who's the audience for that tweet?
People who know the song Car Wash.
Well, you probably couldn't resist playing off the huge popularity of the Car Wash song in 2013. How could you not make a joke about it? It's all everybody's talking about.
Thank you,
Car
Ralph.
Wash.
Exactly.
God damn you.
Is it or is it not the best song ever about a car wash?
Who?
Come on.
Gives
a rat's ass.
Oh, God. I wish so much death on
I
you.
I wish death.
Acclaimed director and producer on America's number one film this week called Mama, Mr. Guillermo del Toro, joins us after the top of the hour here on K-Rock right now. Time for Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Car Wash is the best song about Car Wash.
Oh, were you listening to that? Yeah.
Hey, Mean, do you ever have any thoughts?
I was just on that break.
Do you ever have any thoughts that you don't tweet or say?
Yes.
Or say.
About
can you imagine?
About a million a
tweet
minute.
Or say.
Can you imagine what's going on in the head if... not all of it comes out.
Would you please take the next hour, Bean, and write down...
yes.
Seriously, write down every thought that comes to your head.
I mean,
we get half of it anyway.
Very busy doing a radio show right now. But look, my please. Twitter is carefully curated, you guys. You're only getting the gold.
Golden
back
shower.
Back to you, Ralph.
Golden shower. That's what it feels like. Disney is releasing another ad campaign promoting their parks. Remember the last time they did this? They take Annie Leibovitz, legendary photographer, and they shoot celebrities as famous Disney characters. Do you remember that last campaign
that,
they did?
No.
They take celebrities and they make them Prince Charming from Cinderella.
Just as a way of advertising them.
Yeah, the theme parks.
Yeah.
They did one, my favorite one, I think, was the from the Haunted Mansion. They had Will Ferrell and Jack Black playing the hitchhiking ghosts when you go through the mansion and everything. And they recreate it perfectly to look like Disney characters. They're releasing their second round of ads this week featuring all the ladies of Disney. Here are the celebrities who are playing the various characters in this photo ad campaign. Beyonce is Alice in Wonderland.
All right.
You can find these online, by the way, these photos. They look amazing. Olivia Wilde is the evil queen from Snow White.
Okay.
Rachel Weisz is Snow White
in
same campaign. Jessica Biel is Pocahontas.
Yes.
Wow.
Scarlett Johansson is Cinderella.
All right.
And Taylor Swift is Satan's talentless daughter.
Do not use the bell to speak only for yourself, Bean. The bell speaks for all of us.
First of all, Taylor Swift is very attractive.
Adolf
second
Swindler.
Of all, who is she really playing in,
she
the,
plays
in the campaign?
Satan's talentless daughter. Remember
I don't
that?
Think that
remember
doesn't
that
sound
character
right.
Character from Aladdin?
She's not a princess, too?
She's Rapunzel.
She's a princess whore.
She's Rapunzel the whore. She's Rapunzel, has long flowing hair, only with Taylor Swift, it's not growing out of her head.
That list was great until you got to Tadoff Swift.
I know, but I look, sometimes I have to report news that even I don't want to talk about.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift. Beyond cute.
Yeah,
she's really tall.
You
know,
right.
She's not going to go for me, that's
no,
for sure.
No, she's not. No, she is not.
Grandpa.
But Chris Hansen would like that conversation. remember earlier in the week I was talking about the Django Unchained action figure controversy?
Yes. Right. I can get my slave on.
These were these were action figures based, of course, on the wildly popular Tarantino movie. And Tarantino releases these collectible action figures for all of his films. But the Weinstein Company has received complaints from various civil rights organizations saying that the action figures were offensive and perhaps inappropriate to have, you know, slaves and slave owners and stuff as toys. Maybe it just seemed a little off the mark. So they discontinued the line, and I said to you, well, make sure you try to find one if you can, grab them up, because I guarantee you that they will be highly prized collectibles that you can make some money
right.
on.
Right.
Well, turns
they're
out,
so limited,
turns
right?
out I was right, yeah. Once the sales of the dolls were stopped on eBay, prices were ranging around $2,000 a
wow.
pop for these action figures. Well, now that's no longer an option either. eBay has now halted all sales of the action figures on eBay, claiming that they violate their offensive materials policy.
That's absurd.
So the dolls now are too offensive even for eBay to sell, so you have to find them someplace else if you want to pick one up. But I do recommend if you have access to a hobby shop or toy store or something where you can grab one, you do, because, like I said, $2,000 a pop for an action figure. It's pretty strong. The Grammy Awards are right around the corner. February the 10th, at the Staples Center here in Los Angeles. CBS is going to carry the event live. They are adding more and more performers to the big night all the time. Here's the latest bunch. The Lumineers will be performing at the Grammy Awards.
Ho, hey.
Ho, hey. How about that? Jack White performing.
Awesome.
Already lined up are the Black Keys, Fun Period, Mumford & Sons, Rihanna, Carrie Underwood, and Taylor
what
Swift.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
And Taylor Swift as Satan's untalented daughter.
Taylor Swiller's performing?
Taylor Swift is performing as well. She has to ruin everything.
Puts her stink on everything.
Just being alive.
I think she's nominated for a major award this year, like Record of the Year or something. It makes sense you would be there, guys.
And I just want to give you a quick heads up. If you're not doing anything this morning at 11:30, you may want to head over to Hollywood Boulevard, right there in front of El Capitan. Also in front of the Jimmy Kimmel Live studio, because our boy Jimmy is getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning.
I'm bored!
Well, Lisa, I'm sorry. Jimmy's our friend, and I did want to talk about it. I don't care, really, what your feeling is about it.
He's bored.
Wow, geez. I never knew Lisa and Jimmy had a falling out.
It's rough.
She doesn't want us to talk
about it. Tell me something fun to do. Yeah.
Apparently, tomorrow is the 10-year anniversary of the debut of the Jimmy Kimmel Live
really?
TV show. Yeah, 10 years already.
I would have guessed 5,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, really? It can't be 10 years.
That's crazy. 10 years.
Wow. That's nuts. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Trevino from Vampire Diaries is 28. His co-star, Mia Kirshner, celebrates her 38th birthday today. Christine Lakin from Step by Step is 34. Alicia Keys celebrates her 32nd birthday today. And actress Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty and Hung, she is 42 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
We knew it was going to happen soon. We thought it would happen this week, and it did. Last night at around 8:30, the details were revealed on the lineup for Coachella 2013. Empire Polo Fields, the weekend of April 12th, the weekend of April the 19th. Boy, a lot of bands you know on this lineup. Everybody from Blur and the Stone Roses, Modest Mouse, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs of Monsters and Men, Passion Pit, Phoenix, Postal Service, Franz Ferdinand, Hot Chip, Red Hot Chili Peppers, The Lumineers, Social D, Vampire Weekend. And Kevin, I know you go every year. Yep. I know Coachella's a not-miss for you. The beautiful thing about a show like this is with like 120 bands on the bill is you're going to go for the bands you know. You're going to walk out of there as a fan of somebody you didn't know, right?
That's the fun of it. It's just one. There's like 5 things going on at the same time at all times. So you just wonder, and if you like what you hear, you stop for a little bit. If you really like them, you find out who they are. And it's just so much fun to you make plans of who you want to see, and then you end up basically just throwing that out the window and just having a good time. Drinking doesn't help with the plans, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you end up seeing something, and then you love that, and then you go, well, I was supposed to go over there and see that band, but they're already done, so I'm going to go over here. It's really fun to discover new music that way.
And Coachella has become such a thing now that of course the music is the focus of it, but a lot of times it doesn't even matter who's playing. It's just a cool thing to be at. It's just place to go, right? Tickets are on sale Tuesday at 10 a.m., and there are some changes in how they're doing it this year.
Yeah, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Well, again, Tuesday at 10 a.m. is when the tickets go on sale. You just have to go to krock.com. You can get all the
tickets. Where can I get them? I mean, like, where is there?
Ticketmaster. Tuesday at 10.
Just like all concerts. Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
no, again, you want to buy the tickets in advance before you head out there to Coachella.
Yeah, do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
I mean, we
don't work for the Marriott.
A lot of the hotels will book up, but yeah, I'm sure if you make your plans today.
Major fan of K-Rock.
Okay,
I love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
All right, well, keep that in mind.
I don't know if that's enough.
Night 3.
All right, krock.com for all the details on Coachella 2013. Who's one of our favorite director-producers of all time, Kevin?
J.J. Abrams.
That's correct. Who else, though?
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Guillermo del Toro, who is producing America's number one film in theaters right now called Mama. It's always a thrill to welcome the man back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Guillermo?
Very good. Good to be back, and good to be the second choice.
Yeah. Can't argue with that.
I was just joking. I couldn't resist.
Yeah, listen, now that J.J. is doing Star Wars, that's such a good piece of news.
How about that?
Yeah, that's amazing. Wonderful. And briefly, your name was being bandied about as potentially interested, or at least somebody wanted you to do it. What was the story with that, sir?
We got the, you know, along with a group of filmmakers, you know, my agents got the phone call. They were asked to ask me if I would be interested in doing this. But you know, the I think it's such a great franchise and such a great universe, but, you know, fortunately or not, I'm already too busy.
Yeah, yes, you know, yes.
Doing other stuff.
And that's what I wanted to start with as we talk about Mama. I would imagine that there are lots of movies that you would like to direct. You just simply do not have the time. And that's why being a producer is great, because you can have some input without having to be there 12 hours of every day, right?
You know, you're absolutely right. That's very much part of why I do what I do, because it helps me. You know, I've directed 8 movies, but I've produced in Latin America, Europe, and here about 15, 20 movies. So,
wow. What's it like for your director, in this case, Andy Muschietti, who's a very talented director as well, but he's kind of working under you a little bit? I mean, how much free rein do you give him? Because I would imagine it would be easy for you to kind of impose your vision of the film on his directing.
You know, and I don't do that. I really don't. I think that you have to just be biblical about it and be produced as you want to be produced, or do unto others. You know, I'm very careful not to intrude.
Now, the little kids that play Victoria and Lily are super cute. What is it? How do you cast children to play the really scary characters?
Well, you know, you work with the director in finding the perfect cast, and really with kids, and I've done it so many times with the other movies, you know, the ratio is really low, is 100 to 1. You see 100 kids that are literally terrible, and and one that is really, really good for each part. And there's almost no second choice. There's like all these kids that have been domesticated by the show business mothers into doing yogurt commercials or, you know, tennis shoe commercials, and they come into the audition and they act, and then you find a kid that is a natural, you know, and that's the kid you go with.
Now, Jessica Chastain, of course, plays Annabelle, and she is the one who takes over these two children whose parents have been killed. They've been in the woods. They've kind of raised themselves, or at least that's what they think. And this is the first time that Annabelle, Jessica Chastain's character, meets the children, and she doesn't know what's coming, but we as an audience do. When the little girl calls her mama, she thinks,
"Mama." "No, don't call me that. I'm not your mom. I'm Annabelle. You can call me that. Or Annie, or whatever you'd like. We could work it out together, right?"
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Hey,
not talking to you, Annabelle. Talking to Mama.
Yes.
Guillermo, I know, because of the kinds of movies you've done, including, you know, The Orphanage and Pan's Labyrinth and stuff, and now The New Mama, kids are about the scariest thing on Earth, aren't they?
Yeah. Or they are witnesses to the scariest things on Earth.
Yeah.
Either or.
I have one comment and then one last question. My comment is, I went home and threw away my Misfits t-shirt. That's not going to work anymore for me because it's part of that. And the other is, so many horror movies end up not showing you the ghost or the bad guy or whatever. It's all about teasing and making you think something's there. In this movie, you do show what this force is. Was that a conscious decision, and did it scare you a little bit to have to do that?
No, I very much believe in doing that, because it's basically like a poker game. You can bluff for a certain number of scenes.
Yes.
But there's a moment where you need to show your hand.
And a lot of times a scary movie will fall apart at that moment.
Yeah, it can happen either way. And the secret for me is in this fact. It's very simple. Is if you have managed by that point to make the creature a real character rather than just a device to scare people, it works. Because then they're interested in watching another character interplay with the story. But if you just made it a scary thing, when you show it, you lose about half the power immediately.
Yeah.
You know?
See, this is why he's smart. This is why he's better than the rest of us. Mama is the name of the film. Executive producer Guillermo del Toro on the phone with us, directed by Andrew Muschietti. You definitely have to go see it this weekend. Guillermo, great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. Come back anytime.
I will, and thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
I love having our next guest on the Kevin and Bean Show, because it's like having 100 guests on the Kevin and Bean Show. Frank Caliendo joins us in studio right now.
All right.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yay. Of course, he's at the Irvine Improv tonight for two shows at 8 and 10. Tomorrow night's 7 o'clock show is sold out. Tickets still available for the 9. Tickets available through improv.com. Hey, how are you, Frank?
Good, good. It is great to be here. It's been a
long time, yeah. It has been a while, yeah. But, of course, we've been keeping up with you on the TV. Tell me what it's like as a lifelong sports fan to now be working for ESPN.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I mean, it's totally different than the Fox stuff, too. First of all, Fox is like, go punch each guy in the face, right, and then they laugh at it. I mean, that's really what it was. A lot of times we would surprise people. Like, you know, Terry Bradshaw would have no idea what we're going to talk about. At ESPN, that's a journalistic place. I mean, they
take it seriously.
Oh, yeah. But they're having a lot of fun with it. That's the thing. But they're, like, it's not like they set up cars for you to go everywhere. It's not like Hollywood. It's nothing like that. It's like you're working for a newspaper that's on television.
Wow, that's weird.
That's very weird. Different. So, you know, we'll do jokes about people, and then they'll be like, I think they might take that the wrong way.
Really?
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, because they have to worry about getting those people on as guests or
and
whatever.
You know, they're a news organization as opposed to. I mean, I guess the Fox pregame show is too when it comes down to it. But
it's more it's cartoonish, though,
yeah.
More.
But ESPN takes it very seriously. But with me, they've let me pretty much come up with what I wanted to do. And the first guy that I did this year. There was John Gruden, which is...
Yes, I was going to mention that because that was a real surprise to me. I never thought of him as somebody who could be easily parodied.
And he's the new John Madden because he just says ridiculous stuff.
Poor John Madden died. That had to take a lot out of your...
He didn't die
out of your stand-up.
He just retired.
He's practically dead.
I still have a video game.
No, but I've been trying to get away from that forever. Not do it. I mean, if I went to the Irvine Improv and didn't go on stage or went on stage and didn't do that, there'll be like a couple people. But yeah, man, awesome. I knew you could pull it off. And other people are like, I want my money back.
Yeah.
Is that the one the most...
That Bush Barkley. Barkley's big too.
Who's Bush Barkley?
That's terrible. You know,
but it's got that stuff's so old now. Right. I mean, the Bush feels so. I'll still do that stuff too. But again, it's about for me. It's finding new people. And ESPN,
well, this is why. Tell me about Gruden. Like, how do you attack him? You said he's kind of the new Madden.
Well, the first time when I watched it, it came from those quarterback camps. Watching, you ever see those on there where he's got like Andrew Luck? He's like, tell me a little bit about Spider 3 Wide Banana. What's going on there? Man, that's some good stuff. I've never seen a guy who could drop back like you are and not do anything. That's good. I mean, he makes up nicknames for people that don't make sense. He'd be like, they call that guy the milkman because he really delivers the bread. What are you talking about? But he's so much fun to listen to because he'd be like, I love watching big bodies bang out there, man. That's the best thing. Holy cow. He's so much fun to listen to, and he can make anything good. Like, it can be a bad situation, and he will turn it into good. Like, in a cartoon, a piano would fall on somebody, right?
Right.
But with him, that piano could fall and be like, hey, man, that hurt a little bit, but I'll tell you what, that sound was interesting, and my sinuses are cleared. I never thought I'm walking like an accordion, man. Acme Roadrunner stuff doesn't take anything on me. I'm trying to figure out where that sentence was going, and I'll tell you what, it was in a dead-end situation, man.
He is the new Madden.
Oh, totally.
You also have, this is the voice of Frank Caliendo here on the Kevin DeBeach Show in town for the Irvine Improv tonight and tomorrow night. You also have been doing a lot of Stephen A. Smith lately, which cracks me up because he's a very smart guy and a very good broadcaster, but he does not seem like he has a great sense of humor. How
no,
does that
totally
go
does. I've done he it on really? The show. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't strike me as having a sense of humor.
No, he totally gets it, too. You know, years ago, I saw him. He was in between. He was at ESPN for a while, and then he was off for a little bit, and then he came back. And in the down period, I saw him here in L.A. somewhere, and he comes up to me at the in the elevator. He's like, Mr. Caliendo, how will you do me a favor with all the impressions and impersonations? Don't ever, ever do me. He's joking. But it's like he throws in words that I'm not smart enough to know if they belong there or not. So they'll ask him a question. What do you think, Stephen? And I completely, utterly, and quadrilaterally deny anything you just said. And you're sitting there going, what does geometry have to do with this? I thought it was geography, man. That's how messed up I am on the geo words. You ever have a geo tracker, man? That's a small little vehicle. I love those things. I have no idea what he's even talking about. But I love John Gruden. Chucky, how you doing?
What does it do to you, Frank? And I've been fascinated to ask you this question because now they're doing Stephen A. Smith on Saturday Night Live as well. Jay Farrow is doing it. Now, is that weird when someone else has their
own impression that's different from the one you're doing?
You know what? He can do all the makeup and all that stuff, and I think his is better. I mean, I was only doing it a little bit. I kind of thrown it away for a while. I mean, it wasn't.
Does it bum you out in a way that somebody else is kind of doing it now?
No, not really. Because I mean, you're gonna hit on some of the same things other people are doing. It's like as long as you're not trying to do the same bit. I mean, that to me is always it. The person is there to do an impression of. So, like, look how many Christopher Walkens there are. Yeah. But you still think, you know, there's a top three or four with Jay Moore, Kevin Pollak. And you always think of those people anyways because they have good bits to go with them.
Yeah, true.
That's a good point.
That's the way I look at it.
We've been talking a lot about sports guys in particular, but how frustrating was it for you to have Obama be kind of a dud in terms of compared to Clinton, compared to the Bushes? He's tough.
Well, yeah, the thing I've kind of – I think there's a lot of issues in there too that people struggle with. But I think one of the things for me is always take it more – make it be more about the character of the person and the cadence of their voice. Because Obama – President Obama talks slow at the beginning and speeds up at the end. You know?
So good.
If you take that cadence, like one, two, three – 4, 5, 6, 7. And then you can tie it in. That's like teaching you, you know, that's the great way, best way to teach you a phone number, like 8, 6, 7, 5, 3, 0, 9.
That's Jenny's number. You bet it is. I just called her. Hey.
Now, do you watch and watch and watch and try to get those?
I do now. I mean, I got lazy for a while. I mean, I'm honest about it. You know, for a few years, I mean, I just got tired of doing what I was doing. And people always ask me about the Fox stuff. And it was kind of, I mean, to me, it was essentially pretty much mutual, but their timing. I would love to have said goodbye on there and stuff, but doing that every week, you just start going, oh, what am I going to do? And it was
You were on Fox for 9 years, right?
And it was just joke after joke after joke, and it didn't become about the segments anymore in terms of trying to create anything new for me on my own part, too. You know, that was it. Like last week, we did stuff we never would have done. I did Jim Rome.
I love your Jim Rome.
Phenomenal. Gray is that. This is a brand new show that's just like the old show, except you can say bad words and my hair is longer and curlier. How great is that? And then the bit didn't really make a lot of sense. My buddy John played Gary Busey, just being in there. Gary Busey broke into the studio, so we put him on. And then Ditka breaks into the studio, and I'm as Ditka. It's like, I got to be honest, what's this guy Jim Rome doing here? He doesn't even make sense anymore. He's not even on the network. What you doing? And then, you know, Ditka's going crazy watching me do Ditka. So that's always the fun stuff.
I think you are going to end up in a mental institution like an American Horror Story just talking to yourself, Frank. I really do.
It'll be like a Jonathan Winters thing. I was talking to a tree, and the problem was it talked back.
Exactly.
Four listeners got that one.
We have to take a break. Frank Caliendo is here. He's the man of 1,000 voices performing on stage tonight at the Irvine Improv. Get your tickets for 2 shows tonight, 2 shows tomorrow at improv.com. More in a moment here on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 20 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Did you almost screw up the call letters of the radio station, Kevin? Did that just happen?
Well, the brief thought that went through my mind was I should ask Frank as Charles Barkley to say K-Rock. And then I realized that I had just screwed up the word K-Rock.
It's a world famous K-Rock.
Thank
it's
you.
Very easy to say. I don't know what your problem is. All you have to do is enunciate the letters. And it's going to be fine.
I don't do that well.
Frank Caliendo is here, of course, the man of 1,000 voices on stage at the Irvine Improv tonight for 2 big shows, 2 shows tomorrow night, too. Although the early show is already sold out, you can still get tickets for the others at improv.com. Charles Barkley, by the way, at one point talked about how he was going to, run? Was it governor he wanted to be? Like governor of Louisiana or something?
I had some ideas of Alabama.
Alabama.
But then there was a little DUI kind of situation. That's always bad for a candidate to try and run when they find bear claws and wine coolers in your trunk. And I don't want to say what was in the front seat with me.
Yeah. Look, I think that he is so popular that people love him so much that they would look past that.
Oh,
I think they would just go, that's just Chuck, right?
Because he's honest about it. That's
exactly,
the thing.
Yeah.
He tells you, he doesn't do what all the other, you know, when somebody else screws up, what do? They grab a piece of paper and say, I apologize for the following reasons my lawyer says I'm sorry.
Right. No way I wrote this.
He's like,
Listen, there's a paper here. It says a bunch of stuff, but I just screwed up. Plain and simple, forgive me or don't. Let's just move on and figure out what it's going to be. And then everything's going to be fine. Because I say something else that's ridiculous. And then you can concentrate on that.
That's the beauty of him is he has no filter whatsoever. And yeah, everybody else is over-filtered.
I'm kind of missing the Weight Watchers commercials might have been the best thing. Because he was at the beginning, he'd lost a little bit of weight. But they made it even better because he's wearing all black on a black background and it's shot from outer space. Everybody looks skinnier from the Hubble telescope. He's like, I can eat anything I want. Meatballs, pizza, meatballs, cake, meatballs. Found out Charles Barkley loves meatballs. You like anything else? Balls of meat. Spherical protein objects. All very good.
Is it good for you? Is it good business for you that, you know, you did George W. for 8 years? He went away.
Yeah.
Is it good business for you that Charles is still in the spotlight?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those are the kinds of things. That there's, that's what I try and mix up is the retro with the metro. I don't know. you try and get a little balance because people come to see certain things, but I'm also trying to work on other things. The thing that I think is actually been a little more difficult for me in stand-up, the stuff I've been working on this year mostly, I just went more sports-centric than ever on ESPN.
Right.
And now I have to broaden that stuff out because – and that's what my plan is for the next year because they want to do that too eventually at ESPN. They want to do more, you know, famous celebrity-type bits.
Right.
But I thought it was the best way to start in there was go more to what their audience
sports,
already
of course.
Likes
yeah.
and
sure.
then go wider.
So who else do you do besides Gruden?
On ESPN?
Yeah.
Well, the Ditka stuff was pretty good. That mm-hmm. always turns into Lou Holtz halfway through. Because like, they don't, neither of them finishes a sentence. I gotta be honest. And you gotta figure out what's going on here. That's what football is all about. Then there's guys, trying to think. I did Bob Lee on SportsCenter. Outside the line. You know, just these ridiculous things. He takes these crazy, and he played along with it. Going away from that, I might have done the last time I was with you. The one that's really taken off now, too, that's a non-sports one, Morgan Freeman, because I just narrate.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, trying to figure out what was going on there, Sonny. That's just the way it was.
I love that.
And he played
the best.
God. He played God in Bruce Almighty. You think that's going to be awkward when he dies? But, well, God, how do you think I did? gotta look back at him. I thought you did pretty well. But it's just, he makes everything, he's another guy that makes everything sound better. You're trying to figure out how it's going? Well, I'll tell you what, Sonny. It couldn't be better than it is right now.
Did you happen to notice, Frank, during the inaugural coverage, did you see George Stephanopoulos pointing out he thought it was Morgan Freeman? He announced that it was Morgan Freeman in the audience, and it wasn't him. Who was it? It was Bill Russell. It was Bill Russell was there at the inaugural. He's like, hey, there's Morgan Freeman. And then he gets handed a note. He's like, oh, I apologize. I'm sorry. That was actually Bill Russell. It's hilarious that he made that mistake.
Because my ability to block a shot is much better than his.
Right. Andrew Siciliano, our close friend here at the Kevin Beach, of course, from the NFL Network, DirecTV Red Zone, he tweeted last night, and I guess he was watching Charles do a basketball game, but he tweeted last night that we need Charles Barkley and Bill Walton together to be doing play-by-play. And I thought, that's right in your wheelhouse.
How great would that be? The enjoyment, the facilitation of some of the greatest commentary of all time. Chuck, what are you doing?
Just trying to figure out what we're talking about next. I really love, what are those little cream donuts over here?
Don't touch those. Those are for me. They've got something special in them. Get ready for action. Here we go. Grab a Guinness. Enjoy the world as it rotates around.
Am I alone in my hatred of Bill Walton?
I used to not like him, okay? I didn't like Bill Walton. Then I met him. I actually started to like him before I met him. And then I met him and thought I started to understand. He does that stuff on purpose.
He's being funny or outrageous?
He's being crazy to be crazy. Like
he knows he's being crazy?
He knows it. He totally knows it.
Really?
Like I said, how do you say, like, has there ever been a player better than Detlef Schrempf? I said it. Why do you say something like that? He goes, why wouldn't I? It's so much fun to see the reactions. People go crazy.
That makes me like it more.
Absolutely. I tell the story. When I went to do in for a movie years ago to audition. And it was Tom Green's Freddy Got Finger movie. It was that. And
which eventually went to Harlan Williams, my friend. Hey, buddy. I wish you had gotten that one, Frank. That's what he said to me.
So, and I didn't like Tom Green. I didn't get it. And then I met Tom Green, and he was a normal person, and just sitting there, kind of quiet. Because you always see him, like, I'm Tom Green, I'm going to break you, I'm going to do something. Now my parents are on fire. But, how does that feel?
But then he'll repeat that 25 times.
On fire? It's on fire? are you on fire right now? Who's on fire here? Is anyone on fire?
That's what drives me crazy.
But there's certain people that can do that. You know, Brian Regan can repeat something over and over until it's funny. You know, Will Ferrell can do it too. There's certain people that it's just you have to. But once you know that Tom Green's doing that to mess with people, same as Bill Walton, you start feeling, oh, I get it. Like when people meet me, they think that I just walk around talking like John Madden all day. When you
go to the grocery store, put that in plastic, not paper.
No, I can't stand hearing myself do it. But other people like it, and they give me money.
Sure,
yeah. You know. So it's
unless they're giving you money at the store, you're not doing it.
Yeah, no, I actually will do it. I mean, put a quarter in.
People that meet you on the street ask you all the time.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, it happens.
Is it awkward?
I mean, no, it's got to be a weird. I've come to expect it. I mean, it used to be, it's weird. I mean, it's way better than, you suck!
Yeah, sure.
Because I mean, there's people, before they meet you, they think, they're like, you still doing Madden? I'm trying to get away from it. I do everything I can, but you go on a talk show and they're like, okay, you're going to do some Madden. I'm like, all right. Can we try one show where we don't do it? Yeah, then they'll bring it up. You know, it's just, I'll do some John Madden. That'd be good right there. Was the segment going that bad that I have to go to that? We're struggling a little bit. Not everybody knows Gruden yet, so I'm working on it. That's when Frank realized he'd never escape that situation. Going from a guy who's pigeonholed for doing an impression of a sportscaster named John to a guy who's pigeonholed doing a sportscaster named John.
Frank Caliendo is in town at the Irvine Improv. Tonight for two shows, tomorrow night for two shows. Frank, improv.com, by the way, is always where you go to buy those tickets. Always great to have you on the program. Always great to see you on ESPN. And you're doing the, of course, I guess you're done now, right?
Because they do Super Bowl coverage. So I'm going I'm going to New Orleans this coming week.
Awesome.
I'm going to do stuff and walk around and try not to get in trouble. And also,
good luck.
Follow me on Twitter, at Frank Caliendo, too. I'm late onto that one.
You just started that?
I started it in the last year.
All right.
So
all right.
Started
will do.
Going on.
At Frank Caliendo. Great to see you, Frank. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks, guys.
Black Keys in Brazil at Lollapalooza. It's K-Rock's World Tour 2013, destination number 3. You can qualify at 9:10 this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. Details at KROQ.com, along with everything you need to know about the just-announced Coachella shows. 7:58, Ralph is here. Top of the show. Good morning, Ralph.
Give people a quick heads up. For those of you folks who have wanted to come out to see the Hollywood Babylon show that I do with Kevin Smith, you have a chance tonight at 10 p.m. Tonight, the late show at 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. Up at Universal City on the City Walk, we are doing our Hollywood Babylon show. It was just added this week. It's a last-minute deal because we had to cancel a show in Canada this weekend. So there are some tickets still available. If you want to check it out, come see us tonight at the Lovitz. You can go to CSMOD, CSMOD.com for details and for tickets, but we'd love to have you come out.
I bet on Saturday nights, people who are used to coming to your shows just wander around like, I don't know what to do with myself.
Well, no, restaurants, people usually go to dinner and they Universal. Eat there.
You mean, yeah.
But tonight, the late show, so we get a little... I'm usually drunker and Kevin's a little more stoned in the late show, so it adds
works
to
out.
It, I think. Tonight, we'll certainly be talking about the fact that J.J. Abrams is one step closer to his ultimate goal of assassinating Steven Spielberg and taking over as King of the Nerds. He is now going to direct not only the Star Trek franchise, he is currently finishing up his second Star Trek film, but has been awarded the reins of the 7th Star Wars film.
Dude.
He will be in charge of both of the biggest science fiction franchises in the world.
If I'm Peter Jackson, I'm looking out to make sure that I don't get run over by a car driven by J.J. Abrams so he can take over The Hobbit, too.
Take over.
Man, oh, man, he's doing everything.
There had been names bandied about who was going to direct the 7th film. Everybody from Ben Affleck to Matthew Vaughn, David Fincher, Brad Bird, John Favreau, as you mentioned with Guillermo del Toro earlier today. He also was in the running, but it has been announced, not officially, but by people who know, that J.J. will be taking over the Star Wars franchise.
That'd be a little scary, I would think.
I think it's less scary now that Lucas did such a horrible job with the second set of films.
He destroyed it for you, so now you can build it
back
up.
The bar has been considerably lowered with the 3 films that Lucas did, and now you get to be the guy who steps in and saves the franchise.
That's right? True. You only have to make a watchable movie
That's
and
right.
You're a hero.
Just make a reasonable script with the dialogue that people say, and people will be applauding you. So congratulations to J.J. Abrams. I think the legacy is in good hands with him. He's already said that Star Wars is one of his favorite films of all time, so I'm sure it's a very exciting notion for him to be able
what
to...
What a crazy world for him to have grown up with that and now be the director.
The guy who gave us Felicity...
Yes.
...now has progressed to the point where he is bringing us the new Star Wars films. Circular calendar. Looks like summer 2015.
Oh, let me write
the next
down.
Star Wars film.
Oh, I'm busy.
Oh, no. Dude, you're totally going to miss it. While we're talking about movies, Arnold Schwarzenegger has announced in a press conference in London that he has signed to star in the new Terminator film, the fifth Terminator movie.
Do we need that?
It depends on who he plays, I guess. I'm thinking, given his age and physical state, I mean, the guy's still a specimen, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't look like the Terminator anymore.
Right.
And robots don't age, so you can't really use him in that role anymore. But what if he was the scientist who created the Terminator?
I'm sorry, Arnold is a scientist?
Yes. Okay. He's a cybernetics genius who creates the Terminator robot.
I don't think he
in
pull
his
that
own
off.
Likeness. He makes the robot in his own likeness, and that explains why all the Terminators look like Schwarzenegger. Genius? I think so. You're welcome, Hollywood. Call me if you have any other problems.
Just casting. Just that you need another actor to play that role.
Arnold, of course, is doing another Conan movie, sequel as well, and a sequel to Twins, the movie he did with Danny DeVito, called Triplets, where rumor has it that Eddie Murphy will play the third brother of those three guys. Just keeps getting better, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right, let me cheer you up with something.
Okay.
New Kids on the Block music.
Woo! Yeah!
All right.
Wait, you have a new Kids on the Block song?
Yes. NKTOBQRPZWIK.
How long has it been since we've heard something new from them, Ralph?
A long time.
All right.
Here's a brand new. We just found this morning on the interwebs, and it's hot, man. It's hot.
Balls.
NKOTB.
That would
that
be
way.
The best song they ever did.
Here's the new Kids.
And no one ever knew she was a transformer. Went straight from a two to an I just wanna own you. I can't help myself. Can't help myself. I need it. Need it. Go. Yeah. Baby, I like to do you.
Yeah.
Come on. Huh.
Come on.
You're saying, yeah.
I think it's hot. It's hot. That's it's right. Hot. It's tight.
It's a hit.
It's a hit, man, and I like it.
You gonna buy it?
I'm going to go get it.
Right.
That's a keeper right there.
I want to keep it then. That's a horrible song.
That's not good. That is not the right stuff, I'll tell you that.
Oh, filed.
What?
Ooh, just got the wind knocked out of me. Right there in the solar plexus.
My nose is bleeding.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael Trevino. How soon till he tweets it? How soon till he tweets it?
Yeah, because right now in his head he's going, nailed it.
I need to get in touch with more people. Michael Trevino's 28 years old today. Mia Kirshner, also from The Vampire Diaries, is 38. Alicia Keys celebrates her 32nd birthday. Christine Lakin from Step by Step is 34 years old. And Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty and Hung celebrates her 42nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Is that it? Are they done?
No, I think they're done. You can start.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 11 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Of Monsters and Men, one of the hundreds of bands playing Coachella 2013. K-Rock is happy to welcome the festival back to the Empire Polo Fields the weekend of April 12th and the weekend of April 19th. Tickets go on sale Tuesday at 10 a.m. You should go to krock.com right now if you haven't perused the lineup yet. Everybody from old school like the Stone Roses and the Blur to bands like the Phoenix, the Postal Service, Chili Peppers, Lumineers, Social D, Franz Ferdinand. It goes on and on and on. Again, all those details at krock.com. Billy, you haven't started yelling yet. I don't even recognize you if you're not screaming at somebody.
It's early. For me. He is Billy on the Street, Billy Eichner. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Of course, you can see his show Fridays at 10 on Fuse. See him on the Conan Show and, of course, the hilarious Funny or Die clips. How are you, man? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for the first
time. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
What was the I was trying to figure out how to explain to people what you do. I mean, you
accost
people
Will
on
Ferrell
the street
clip.
And scream at them. Okay, that'd be a good place to start, I guess.
You set it up and tell us.
Okay, so I host a pop culture game show on Fuse, a music and pop culture game show, but it's a very unusual game show. I ambush people on the streets of New York with pop culture trivia. And one of the twists is that some of the questions are subjective. So for a person to win money, they actually have to agree with my opinion about, you know,
Is there actual money, though? Are there prizes?
There are prizes. People can win $1. People can win $100. And then we give away other weird random prizes. If the prizes aren't good.
Okay.
But we give away, like, paper towels and microwaves and... You know, it really varies. And then sometimes the show is mostly me ambushing real people on the street, completely unscripted, unrehearsed. And now we have celebrity guests that I'll bring in to play a game.
Okay.
And one of those people was Will Ferrell.
And explain the game, this particular game.
I play a couple of games with Will Ferrell. This game is it the Drew Barrymore game?
Yes.
Okay, so this game is called Would Drew Barrymore Like That? And I rattle off a list of things, mundane things, and Will Ferrell has to tell me if he thinks Drew Barrymore would like that, and then I tell him, based on my subjective opinion, whether he's right or wrong.
Which is absurd, because there's no right answer. That's what's
exactly.
So beautiful.
Well, there's a right, the right answer is my answer.
Right.
Yes, thank you.
Here we go.
Will Ferrell.
Drew Barrymore would like Will Ferrell.
No, Drew Barrymore hates you. I'm sorry to tell you that. I love you. You're like my comedy hero. Drew Barrymore can't stand you. Hearing singing.
What?
Hearing singing.
Hearing singing?
Yes. Hearing somebody sing!
Drew Barrymore... would like hearing singing.
That's correct. You win, Will Ferrell. Let's see his prize. Oh, it's a cat scratch post.
Yeah. Yes. This is bitchin'.
So, Billy, how did this look? Like, it's not scary enough to go up to particularly random New Yorkers and get in their faces when we all know New Yorkers don't want to talk to anybody. How did you decide to make it even more uncomfortable by screaming at them?
I don't know. It kind of just happened organically. You know, when I started doing it, I'm a stand-up. I was doing live sketch shows in New York, and I was doing these man on the street videos as part of that show. I would throw to a video in the show. Those were always really popular. Something about me screaming, you know, Juliana Margulies in some Asian woman's face really connected with people for reasons I still can't quite explain.
It's just the nonsense of it is
fantastic. Yeah, it's absurd. Yeah. And it kind of highlights everyone's obsession with celebrities and pop culture and all of that in a weird way. And I started putting those videos on YouTube, and then Funny or Die, the comedy website, which was started by Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, they called me and they emailed me and said that they liked what I was doing. And
now, when that first happened, did you think somebody's pranking me? What's going on?
Well, you know what the honest truth is? You know,
you saw it coming?
No. I had been doing it for years in New York. I'd been doing it for 5 years. I'd had brushes with TV attention before that never panned out. So when this happened, I was honestly on the brink of stopping and sort of figuring out what else to do with my life.
What's plan B?
Yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden, Funny or Die emailed me and I said, you know what? I have this weird idea. It's kind of like me doing my version of Cash Cab mixed with what I'm doing.
Right.
And turning it into a game show, a ridiculous like game show, like Cash Cab on Coke, I called it.
Nice.
And Funny or Die got that. And we made a sample version of it and we took it around to networks and... miraculously, I have a TV show.
Now, occasionally on Cash Cab, somebody will jump into the back of the cab and they'll realize what's happening. And they go, oh, my God, I love that show. They're a fan of it. Has that happened to you yet where you've gone up to somebody on the street and they've been familiar with your work?
Yeah, that's happening more and more. And sometimes that works for the show and sometimes it doesn't. But it's a good problem to have. I mean, you know, it means that people are watching the show, which is great. And also, the great thing about shooting in New York is that there are so many people.
Yeah.
And let's face it, a lot of those people aren't watching Fuse. So, I love
what
you,
are you
Fuse.
Saying?
I'm just kidding. But there's so many people, and it's constantly refreshing itself, and there are so many tourists and visitors, and there'll always be enough people who don't know who the hell I am. So,
tell me how the game Where in the World is John Mayer's Penis worked.
Well, right, we need to take a break.
I think it's self-explanatory.
Oh, no, come on.
We need to take a break.
Don't leave me hanging.
Well, no, we won't. Oh, well, we will until we get back. But we'll take a break, and we'll come right back with Billy Eichner.
Bitchin'.
Billy Eichner in studio with us right now. He is Billy on the Streets. You can see his stuff at BillyOnTheStreet.com or on Fuse TV or on Funny or Die. Right before the break, Billy, I was asking you, because I don't remember this episode, how does Where in the World is John Mayer's Penis work?
Oh, okay. So I approached a couple on the streets of New York, and we played a game called Where in the World is John Mayer's Penis? It's my take on Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego,
right.
That old kid show. But in my version of it, I run down a list of mostly female celebrities, and they have to tell me whether they think that female has visited John Mayer's penis. And if they think that they have, they say penis. If they think that they haven't, they say no penis. And I tell them whether they're right or wrong, and they win $1 for each one they get right.
That's the best game I've ever heard.
Yeah. It is worth their time. You make it worth their time with
exactly.
that dollar.
I think they won like $6, $7.
That's strong. Beer Bug, who's also a big fan of Billy on the Streets, was asking as you sat down, and I'm sorry to keep asking you about what all these games are, but the titles are all great.
Which was Weekend at Bernie's or Django Unchained. How does that one
yes,
play?
Yeah, that was on the show last week. This I played with a young girl. I think she was 5, 6, 7 years old. Very, very cute young girl.
Were you yelling at her?
I didn't yell at her. And you know what? Some of the fans of the show got mad because they just expected me to start screaming at her. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is like the cutest girl I've ever
seen.
It sounds
funny until you're standing across from a 6-year-old
girl. You can't just start screaming at a girl. I mean, if she had been giving me trouble, then maybe. But she was a very sweet young girl. She had no idea what I was talking about. So in this game, I gave her a fact, and she had to tell me if that fact referred to the movie Weekend at Bernie's or the movie Django Unchained.
Neither of which she's heard of.
Probably. Of although she does fairly well just by guessing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She still loses. But and then something happened when we were filming, because we're literally filming on the street with, I swear, no preparation, right? And so I didn't know this while we were filming, but you can see it in the video if you go on BillyOnTheStreet.com. There is a dog who comes and poops right at back of us. Awesome. And there was nothing we could do about it because we didn't want to stop the game. None of my producers told me. And when we went back to watch the footage, in some shots, just because of the way it's angled, it looks like the dog is pooping on her head. Aww. And we had to cut away from it because we didn't want it to be distracting. But you can still see it. Of course, every YouTube comment, no one's talking about the game.
Of course.
Everyone's only like, look at that dog pooping. This is the best show ever.
That's awesome.
You know.
You got slapped in the face at least once on the street?
Yeah, I've been slapped. An old lady slapped me across the face for using a slang term for oral sex, I will say.
Okay.
And I don't even think she knew what I was talking about, but she just heard that term and slapped me across the face
and
walked away.
That you needed to be slapped.
Yeah, and good for her. I probably did. I mean, I like it when they hit me. Especially an old lady. I love an old lady.
I was going to say, maybe an old lady, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you like doing it with regular people versus with celebrities?
For me, the show is really about real people. You know, the celebrities are there just to spice it up, you know, and it's fun to – it's actually – it's fun because usually you see a celebrity promoting their stuff in sort of a typical talk show format. They're on a couch. You know, it's all very controlled. But here – I drag them onto the street with me. Like, they get dragged into my world as opposed to me just asking them questions about what's your latest movie about. There's a little of that, but mostly it's, okay, you're on my show. We're going to play this crazy game. Or you have to run with me through the streets of New York and help me ambush people.
And by the way, even Will Ferrell, who is a genius in our opinion, yours as well, is caught off guard by your questions and just trying to catch up and understand what you're saying.
Yeah, we don't prep them at all. You know, it's like, you want to do the show? Great. Show up at 11 a.m. on the corner of 46th and 6th Avenue, and I'll tell you what we're doing. You know, I dragged Rashida Jones around with me and we ran through the streets and I was asking people if they recognized her.
Right.
And a lot of them said no and she had to deal with that. And she's great. Rashida's amazing and she was a fan of the show. So they actually won it. Like when Rashida did the show, she's on Parks and Rec, you know, she said, can we run around? Like people kind of want this crazy experience of running around with me, which is bizarre.
That's awesome.
But they're great. Yeah,
you've created a strange niche for yourself.
It is very strange. It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Well, I told Billy during the song that, you know, we do the internet roundup here every week on the Kevin and Bean Show where we take all the best viral videos of the week. And it seemed like every single week there was another Billy on the street. And I said, we've got to get this guy on next time we can. So
That's nice, glad we got a chance to meet you.
Seriously, you are doing the Lord's work out there. And of course, we can also see you on the Conan Show, too. You're a correspondent on the Conan Show.
Yes.
Weeknights, right. Check it out. Friday nights at 10 on Fuse, BillyOnTheStreet.com. And you can follow. What's your Twitter? Is it at Billy Eichner, right?
At Billy Eichner, BillyEichner.
MOUSE. Thanks for coming out. That is Electric Feel, by the way, from MGMT. Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, by the way. Another very special guest. Lisa, you're free to leave. Katrina Bowden will be here. She's
nice.
On the cover of the current Maxim magazine and one of the stars of 30 Rock, which only has one episode left. One of the great comedies in television history. One episode left. I'm so sad. I can't even imagine how she feels. So we will try to console her coming up.
First, though, speaking of TV, last night was something that had been long awaited. Jimmy Kimmel, how long has this bit been going on where he's been bumping Matt Damon at the end of every show, Kevin?
It seems like years, like 3 or 4 years.
It seems like years.
Because he said, I don't know if what he says in his monologue is accurate, 1,200, but that's, what, 4 years?
Something so like last, that. Yeah. Last night, Matt Damon got his revenge, and he took over the Kimmel show and actually had Jimmy taped to a chair with his mouth shut.
Welcome to tonight's episode of Jimmy Kimmel Sucks. I am your host, Matt Damon. Just for starters, let me ask you guys this. As an audience, is it weird to see a person with actual talent host this show? I'm very excited to be here, obviously. Jimmy has bumped me from his show 1,205 times. For 10 years, every night I wait in that green room. And every night, Kimmel says, apologies to Matt Damon, we ran out of time.
To his credit, Jimmy did say it every night.
Yes.
Without fail. I don't know where he got that resolve from, but I don't think he ever missed a night.
Jimmy doesn't give up.
What's that?
Jimmy doesn't quit. You know that about Jimmy. When he gets an idea, man, he sticks with it.
I've been waiting for this moment for a long, long time. This is like when I lost my virginity. Except this is going to last way longer than 1 second. Tonight, good triumphs over evil. I am Luke Skywalker, and Kimmel is the Death Star. Big and round and easily destroyed through his garbage hole.
So Matt Damon hosts the entire show.
He does?
Yes.
The whole thing?
The whole thing.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, behind the desk, talking to the guests, everything.
Wow.
First, he checks in with Guillermo, because Guillermo is Jimmy's right-hand man. And Matt's a little worried that perhaps his alliances lay elsewhere.
No, not, I don't like Jimmy. He's a dumbass.
So you're going to be loyal to me now?
Yes, my lord.
I'm sorry, Guillermo. I just can't believe that. I took the liberty of hiring my own Guillermo. So please welcome legendary actor Andy Garcia. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Mr. Matt Damon.
So Andy Garcia comes out there. He's got the little, you know, the little uniform on, and he stands at the side of the stage just like Guillermo did. So funny.
Now, some messages to Matt. This is from Robert De Niro.
Oh, wow.
Don Cheadle and both of Jimmy's parents. Sending Matt Damon messages. The first one is Robert De Niro.
Hey, Matt. Awesome job. Awesome. You are as great as Jimmy Kimmel wasn't.
Thank you, Matt, for allowing America to laugh again.
You know, Matt, you're the son we always wanted.
Welcome to the family, Matty.
Of course, his dad.
So everyone's turning on Jimmy, who, again, I remind you, is taped up on a chair on stage with tape over his mouth, too. He's just struggling, can't do anything.
Matt Damon finds Nicole Kidman.
Ah.
Nicole Kidman.
Nice.
But you've never done this show. You've never done it. Why not?
He's not classy.
Yeah. I know.
Right?
I know.
I mean, he sucks.
So pretty much the entire show was to just demolish Jimmy.
That's awesome.
Matt at one point said,
thank you so much for that kind applause. It must feel so good to really mean it for once.
Just an hour of Jimmy sucks. That's all it was.
So now he's asking Demi Moore if she wants to come and hang.
Any chance you want to come in and hang out with me and Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman and Gary Oldman and Amy Adams?
Jimmy's not in there, is he?
Well, technically, yes, but I tied him to a chair and stuffed a gag in his mouth.
Okay.
So all of the celebrities know that that's what's supposed to happen. And by the way, you remember, wasn't that the beginning? I forget when this happened, but Sarah Silverman did the song, I'm Effing Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's how the whole feud started. Absolutely.
Okay. So then Sarah Silverman comes out as a guest, and Matt Damon asks Sarah Silverman what it was like to be his girlfriend.
But hey, you know why I brought you on? I was wondering if you could just describe your relationship with Jimmy for me.
Oh, gosh. I guess, like, you know when you're in New York and you pass by those hot dog vendors and you're like, I'm not going to eat this. It's not good for me. And then the smell gets to you and you can't help yourself and you get one and you like pound two or three of them and then later on you're puking, you know, and you're just like, why did I put this inside me? You know?
But that's awesome to have your ex-girlfriend come on and rail on you on national TV. By the way, Jimmy, who's celebrating his 10 years of doing the late night show on ABC, and now it is at 11:35, of course. It's the best show by far of all the late night shows, and he much deserves the success that's coming his way. And he's getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30, right there in front of the El Capitan in Hollywood where he does the show. And it's open to the public. Anyone can come on down and see it. And if you can't make it, it is streaming through walkoffame.com. But congratulations to Jimmy.
One more clip as Matt closed the show.
Jimmy, is there anything you want to say before we wrap things up? Wait, I'm sorry. We're out of time. Good night, everybody.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, a strange choice, but we're happy you made it. It is 8:54.
Beautiful actress Katrina Bowden from 30 Rock joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Ralph, I'm glad you're here because I'm not speaking to Kevin anymore.
What?
I just want you to know this show is broken up. Well, every year at this time, it's where it's, you know, North versus South, brother versus brother, when I find out that Kevin is not an American and hates the Puppy Bowl. Ugh. He hates the Puppy Bowl.
Everyone hates the Puppy Bowl.
Who hates the Puppy Bowl?
Any sorts of semblance of an adult reasoning hates the Puppy
Bowl. I love puppies.
Don't like the Puppy Bowl. How can you hate the Puppy Bowl then? It's puppies doing puppy things.
Puppies don't need to have a bowl built around them to do puppy things. If you take a puppy, it just does puppy things.
But it doesn't hurt if you do.
It does hurt. It's stupid.
Happy.
Just show me a puppy running around. Oh, that's cute. Build it a gridiron and have porcupine cheerleaders, whatever the F they do in that BS animal planet.
Right. Hedgehogs.
Ralph, let me catch you up.
It's BS.
Let me catch you up on what just happened and what Bean's referring to. Is Dave the King of Mexico came in and said, hey, here's a pitch for the show. Do you guys want to talk to the referee? For the Puppy Bowl.
Yes, I'd like that referee to come in here so I can beat him with a cinder block.
And I said, if he's here, I will be a dick to him. I just want to put that out there
right up front. Your play, if that's the case.
All right.
It's the dumbest thing on television.
So I am working with the Taliban is basically what's going on here. You guys you worship Osama bin Laden is what I'm learning now.
If you can get me an interview with one of the puppies where he says he really wants to win the game, then I will take it all back.
All right. Exclusive Puppy Bowl coverage starts Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 8:55.
Puppy Bowl.
Hey, you got some chances to see those of us here who work on the Kevin and Bean Show this weekend. Tonight at 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz Comedy Club and Podcast Theater, Kevin Smith and I will be doing our Hollywood Babylon show. I know it's usually Saturdays, but we're doing a special Friday late night show tonight. So if you haven't seen the show, come on out and check it out. And go to
It's not good.
It is good. CSMOD, CSMOD.com.
Will Ferrell, is it good?
Bitchin'.
See? He thinks it's bitchin'.
All right.
For info and details and tickets. And also then tomorrow at Santa Anita Park.
Woohoo!
Lisa May will be making that noise at Santa Anita Park tomorrow. Lisa May will be there. Stryker will be there. Kat Corbett. Hi, I'm Kat. She'll say that to you when you see her. Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Lightning will all be attending the K-Rock infield concert event featuring shiny toy guns.
I insist to do the rest of this as Cat.
It's going to be 10 thoroughbred races tomorrow. You get to play on the ponies. There's 45 different microbrews will be there. They've got gourmet food trucks. It's quite the celebration there in the infield at Santa Anita.
Oh, horse manure.
Yeah, it's a good time. 10 a.m. 10 a.m. the gates open. Live racing all day. It's only $5 to get in. You can't beat that with a stick. And I have a special VIP package to give away right now. Now, what this includes is free admission for four, a parking pass, so you park for nothing, backstage access. Shiny Toy Guns will be playing there in the infield concert. 8 drink tickets, $106 in vouchers so you can bet on the ponies. You're using the house money when you're wagering on the horses. You can't get any better than that. And as I mentioned, most of the morning show crew will be here, Lisa May and Omar and Dave and Stryker and Hi, I'm Cut. She'll be there. And Lightning. And it's going to be sunny tomorrow. They were feared of the rain, but looks like God is on our side and there will be no rain tomorrow. It'll be a nice day, so you have even more of a reason to go out there and see the sunshine and see Lisa May. And
God is a microbrew fan.
He is. Turns out he likes the microbrew. So there's all of your opportunities to see those of us here on the morning show, except, of course, for Bean, who sees no one, and Kevin, who you can only see in a rehab.
Dare you.
Or some sort of ward. And he's wrapped up in a jacket with buckles in the back. Hi, I'm Cut. This is good news. Barry Manilow is sick.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How
scary.
Wait, near death?
Well, we're hoping.
Yeah.
He was supposed to open his Broadway show last night, Manilow on Broadway, but he canceled last night's opening night performance, also canceled tonight's show and Saturday's show.
You're dead to me.
So they're hoping he is just clinging to life and will eventually let go the way he should.
Why do you hate Barry Manilow, by the way?
Because he's vapid and insipid and represents all things mediocre in popular music.
I will tell you that we wouldn't pay any attention to him if it wasn't for your unnatural love, which drives us to hate.
Yeah, I think
But he has so many good songs, though.
But he really doesn't.
You haven't liked any of his songs?
His songs are pablum. They're elevator music. They're just the most sort of simplistic, sappy, saccharine, faux romantic music available.
I just don't care at all.
Yeah, it is crap.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
How can you love it? It's crap.
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
Barry's got bronchitis. He's got fluid in his lungs and
fluid
in several other parts of his body as well. No word on how that got there, but I'm guessing it was a guy named Sven. J.J. Abrams is going to direct the new Star Wars film. Ah, good choice.
I agree.
Good choice, Disney. He's been picked to keep the franchise alive since Disney purchased Lucasfilm for $4 billion. They obviously have a concern as to keeping Star Wars healthy, and J.J. Abrams is the guy to do it. If a guy could come along and revitalize Star Trek, and when they said he was going to reboot Star Trek, I said, that's not possible. It'll never be a success, because Star Trek is William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and those actors who played those roles. No one will accept anyone else as Kirk or Spock.
And it was very campy and very of the time.
Not really. It wasn't campy. I mean, it's a straight-up space sci-fi drama. But, I mean, with that series and then the subsequent feature films, it's super hard to divorce those characters from those actors. They are those characters. And I said, if they try to bring us a new Kirk or Spock, no one's going to buy it. I was completely wrong, obviously. Huge hit, that new Star Trek movie. So if he can do that with that franchise, to take new characters in new directions with the Star Wars franchise, I think is a slam dunk for this guy. He's a genius, and he's going to do real well with it. So congratulations to J.J. Abrams. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Alicia Keys is 32.
Hi, I'm Kat.
Alicia Keys talking to Kat Corbett. Michael Trevino is 28 years old today. He's on The Vampire Diaries, as is Mia Kirshner, who also celebrates a birthday today. She's 38. Christine Lakin from Step by Step and the Kilbourne Files. She is 34 years old. And Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty and Hung, or Hungly Betty, I almost called it, is 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Why don't we let Katrina Bowden from 30 Rock decide on whether the Puppy Bowl is awesome or not, Kevin? Would that be fair, do you think?
No.
Katrina?
It's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, because Katrina and Lisa and I love America. That's the difference between us and you over
Katrina
there, Hitler.
Katrina and Lisa are women.
And we know how great puppies are.
And Bean has a vagina.
How dare you?
That's all I'm saying.
How dare you? Hi, Katrina. Welcome, my dear.
Hi. Thank you.
I don't think we've ever had you on the show before, which is a tragedy, because obviously we, as most good-thinking Americans are huge fans of 30 Rock. And it's been on 7 seasons, but there's 1 episode left. That must be freaking you out.
I know. It's so weird. It's so weird to have something going on in your life for 7 years and then watching the last one come up and then go away.
Especially this 7 years, too, at the age you were and are now, right?
Yeah. I was 17 when I started. And now I'm the old age of 24.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You could retire.
Now what will you do?
So you were 16 when you auditioned?
Yeah, my first audition, I was 16, and I didn't get it. They shot the pilot with someone else, and then they recast the character of Ceree.
Did they come back to you?
Yeah, they came back. They remembered me from my first audition, and I was a little older then, and it happened in like 3 days.
Now, you were going to an all-Catholic girls' school.
Yeah.
That's got to be bizarre to say, hey, what are you doing this summer?
TV show, you know.
Just hanging out with Tina Fey. well, I had just graduated, and I was doing some acting and modeling all through high school.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. How do you get on a show, a network primetime sitcom with a bunch of stars like Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin as essentially a nobody in the industry? Like, what was your background?
Well, gosh, I was very lucky at the right place at the right time and the right audition. I had been modeling since I was 14.
Me too.
Oh, didn't know that.
We have a lot in common.
I didn't know that either. That's so interesting.
I had to get up because I just started getting too buff. You know, I just, once you get too many muscles, you're not right for a lot of the kind of modeling I was
right,
doing.
Right, you're so. Just too good looking.
Sure. I was too, yeah, I was too buff.
Anymore. So,
thanks for playing along.
So you were modeling, and what
and
kind
I was,
of?
I was acting. I did like commercials. I was on a soap opera, and then I just, you know, the right audition came around, and it all happened really quickly. And I've been told that that never really happens, and I was very lucky that it happened.
But
the
you
way
said it happened in 3 days. You mean
like I got the call that they're recasting, and then the next day, as I went into casting to audition, and then the next day I read with Tina Fey, and then the next day I found out I got the part.
Wow. Huh. Now, what is it like when you're 17, 18, and you're getting started with 30 Rock, and everybody that you work with is so much older than you are? Did you kind of feel like you didn't really fit in, or did they kind of bring you into the fold and you were all in it together?
Well, I was completely nervous in the beginning. I felt completely out of my element because, you know, I'd never been on a real television show before.
And right.
All these people were such great comedians and great actors, and I was intimidated.
Yeah, they're stars from other things as well, so people know them coming into it.
And so I was so nervous. And but
did
they
you have the feeling like I do sometimes? Like at some point, somebody's going to come up to me and kick me out because I don't belong here. They're going to realize
I tried not to think that way, but I was just more like, you know, nervous about like, am I doing this right? Am I funny? I don't even know if I'm being funny right now. And so, but everyone took me under their wing, and they all treated me like I was their little sister. And I in turn learned so much from all of them.
Did you know who Alec Baldwin was when you started the show?
I did know who Alec Baldwin was.
You did? Okay.
When I mean, I knew who he was. I've always been so bad at like placing the actor's name with the face, mm-hmm. and so I had to like double check online to make sure that I knew.
He's Harry Potter, right? That's Alec Baldwin. Right? Or Batman. No, I can't remember. He's one of them.
I was going to my first table read, and I wanted to make sure that I knew who everyone was when I got there because I didn't want to be embarrassed, you know, thinking someone was Alec Baldwin who wasn't. So I made sure that I looked up everyone before. I knew.
This is the voice of Katrina Bowden here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about 30 Rock, which has one episode left next Thursday night. She's also on the cover of the current issue of Maxim magazine. This is your second time being on Maxim in the last 12 months, right?
Yes. I think I was on last year's January. Or no,
that's really cover. That's kind of a compliment when you consider how many beautiful women there are in the world that they give up two covers for one person in a year, right?
It's such a compliment, especially coming from Maxim. They have so many beautiful women.
Yeah, that's the gold standard for this kind of thing.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Let's talk about Cerie for a second, because you talked about how you were young and a little bit intimidated when you were starting out, yet you have to play a character who really has great confidence and kind of doesn't even care what everybody thinks about her, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, Cerie was so much fun to play because I definitely knew people similar to her in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a fun character to play. And then she just got more layers and as the years went on with, you know, she was really smart but just didn't really care to try and wanted to help out but just never did.
Not much.
always tried and always failed. So,
what was it like meeting Tina Fey? I imagine that had to be...
I was so cool.
To us, she's amazing.
Yeah. She is amazing, and I was nervous. Of course, I was so young, and I wanted to impress her.
Sure.
And she was so sweet, and she was so normal, and even to this day, she's so down to earth and cool, and she's everything that you would expect her to be. And she doesn't try too hard either. She's just naturally funny and cool. Yeah.
But now that you guys aren't doing a show together, there's no way you'll even get her real phone number anymore, right? I mean, I'm sure she's cut most of you guys out of her life, right, at this point.
Yeah. Well, if you're asking for her phone number, I don't
know. No, I'm not. I'm kidding. I'm just saying that I'm sure you all think you're friends with Tina Fey, but try to get a hold of her now. That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
She's moved on really quickly.
Katrina Bowden is here on The Kevin and Bean Show again. The January-February 2013 issue of Maxim is on newsstands now. 30 Rock airs Thursday nights on NBC. More with our guests right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Katrina Bowden in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She is the actress who played Cerie on 30 Rock, which is going away this Thursday night after 7 great years on NBC, one of the funniest shows of all time. Before we get back to 30 Rock, because I do have more questions, I want to ask you about a couple of movies, Katrina.
Sure.
You were in one of our favorite movies of last year, the Piranha 3 Double D.
Okay. Which,
we loved so much. The first one was great. The second one was great. Tell me what it's like being in a movie like that where you're getting destroyed by piranhas. Was that just a blast?
It was definitely an interesting experience. It was fun. It was a lot of blood.
Sure.
Sure.
And just a lot of long nights, a lot of swimming. I had that like one big scene where I was swimming in a lake that took so long and it was so cold.
How long
cold.
Were you in the water?
I was in the water from like 6 at night until like 5 in the morning.
Oh my God.
Like,
God.
Not, I didn't stay in the water that entire time, but like I was in and out and like
freezing
and it's slimy and gross. Oh, it was just, that was not
and,
fun.
And how long did that scene last in the movie?
Oh, like, a minute and a half, two minutes. I mean, like, I don't think everyone realizes how much time goes into making a movie or a show. It's crazy. There's so much time.
Yeah, I don't think you do. Because you would see that scene and go, it probably took him a couple hours.
Yeah, no. Like,
3 hours.
Like 10 hours.
Well,
yeah.
It was awesome. And the other movie I wanted to ask you about, only because it's one of the most mysterious releases in recent history, is the one that's opening up this weekend. You are one of about 100 stars in movie 43, right?
Yeah. I didn't even know if that was ever coming out.
Help us understand this.
It's basically
because it's unlike anything.
It's very strange. It's basically a bunch of different like skits.
Okay.
Like, as if you're watching like a bunch of SNL skits, like all in one big movie.
But in contrast to SNL, are they funny?
They're really funny. I haven't read all of them.
Okay.
Actually, because they kind of just hired actors to be in, like, they hired you for a skit.
Oh, so you know your thing, but that's it.
Yeah, I'm in like a superhero one where Robin. It's Batman and Robin. Robin is speed dating. I have a very, very, very small part. It's real, like.
But as does everybody in the movie.
I'm surprised I'm even credited. So.
But now you can say, you know, you've been in a movie with, you know, with Halle Berry and with like a million other people, right?
I know, right?
Well, I can't decide whether that movie's going to be awesome or unwatchable because it's just, there's just no way to get a bead on it from what I've seen, you know?
Yeah, it's confusing. I don't even know if there's any way it all ties together.
So you haven't seen it?
No, I have not. I have yet to see it.
Okay.
So I'm in the dark as you guys are a little bit.
Maxim Magazine, January, February 2013 issue is on newsstands now with Katrina on the cover. Let's talk a little bit more about 30 Rock. We talked about what it was like to get on the show.
I haven't seen it yet. Catch me up.
30 Rock has been famous for the greatest guest star cameos on television over the years. You've had everybody come in. John Hamm and, of course, a bunch. And Matt Damon, Elizabeth Banks, Jennifer Aniston. Are there any stories that you have of people that you were just super psyched to have on the show that week?
I was excited to have Jennifer Aniston on. I was in a scene with her. And she's so cool and so beautiful in person, and she was just so normal as well. And then Bon Jovi, I'm from New Jersey, as I couldn't wait to tell him I'm from New Jersey.
I'll bet he never hears that.
I know, right? I realized that after the fact that he's probably so sick of hearing that.
Yeah.
And my mom like lives near Asbury Park, so I like thought I had this great story. But
how did that
he
go?
Was like,
over?
Oh, okay, yeah, all awesome. Right, like, we're okay, great.
Nice to meet you.
He was very nice, but like he gets that. I'm sure he gets that all the time.
Yeah. It's just got to be so crazy because there are so many famous people who are fans of that show. It seems like everybody wants to do it, and you show up for work, and all of a sudden, you know, there's Steve Martin. You know, I mean, it just
I know
it must be weird.
Julianne Moore has been on the show quite a few times, and one of the first times that she was on when we were all doing scenes together, she was telling me and Jack McBrayer, who plays Kenneth, how much she loves the show and how great we are on it, and how much she loves us on the show. And
wow.
We were like, thank you. Thank you for coming and doing it.
Do you almost feel like you're being punked?
I know, right? Yeah, it's exactly. It's like you know who we are.
Right.
So it's awesome. It's great how many people love it, especially there was big actors.
There was a time, if I'm not mistaken, where it wasn't getting the ratings really at all.
No.
Critical, you know, through the roof, but no one was watching, and they didn't know if it was going to be renewed, and then all of a sudden it became a juggernaut.
Yeah, it was like our first two seasons, I think. Well, especially the first season, we didn't know if we were going to stay on the air, and then we got picked up, and then we got the Emmy nominations, and then we won the Emmy, and then we won another one.
So maybe the Emmys was the turning point?
I think, but that's really, I mean, there are shows that have won Emmys and then get canceled. So
I think the show
like Arrested Development, I think, won an Emmy, and then
a genius show.
Back,
But I think the show also evolved from the first
grew,
season, because I remember watching it then, and I liked it, but not that much. And then I think the show got better.
I really do. Because things gel and you kind of figure out where you're going.
The first season of a show, it kind of takes everyone a little while to get used to everything. And then, you know, and then it just got better and better. And our writers got more creative and more creative. And
how much does Tina do of the writing? Does she do a lot of it?
She oversees a lot of it. Like her and Robert Carlock, you know, the two head writers. And, you know, all of our writers are fantastic, but everything has to go through Tina and Robert.
Did it help when Tina...
Or had to.
Did it help when Tina went back to SNL and was doing the...
Oh, you know what?
I think that's when our
number of viewers, you know...
That made a difference?
Yeah, it made a huge difference because I had people coming up to me going, oh, you're on 30 Rock. I started watching that show because of SNL and seeing Tina doing... Because
she'd done so much before on SNL and everything else.
But that then, was huge. Yeah. And, I mean, I think, you know, that did a lot for the... viewership of our show.
Well, 30 Rock, by the way, you talk about the Emmys, has been nominated for 90 Emmys over the course of its 7 years.
Wow.
90? Resulting in 14 wins. And is the
That's
reason
not
you're
a very
in...
good percentage.
No, it's not. But it's an honor to be nominated 76 times and lose. But you're in town this weekend because of nominations for the Screen Actors Guild also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. That's going to be fun, too.
It's
That's on Sunday
be fun.
Night.
Yeah, it's always a fun award show to go to every year, the last, you know, 6 years. And it's like, Kelly, it's our last one.
Yeah.
Tell us, is there anything you can tell us about Thursday night's finale?
Well, you guys, I'm guessing most of you saw last
yes.
night. Well, I can't really give anything away. You don't want to ruin any surprises, but I'm just really proud of how the writers ended it. And it's, I think it's going to make
everyone...
I think it's going to be emotional at points, and people probably won't expect that, but right after something emotional happens, something ridiculous
of course,
happens. So
if you guys are all dead and standing around a church, I swear to God, Katrina, I'm going to find you.
That's lost.
Oh, no,
I'm
oh
just
God.
Worried.
That's,
it's very different.
That would have been a really funny way to end the show.
We've been burned before, I just say.
I know.
If you guys walk into the same church with the cast of Lost, that would be
that
funny.
Would be
awesome.
That would have been great.
Is it too late to reshoot?
The series finale of 30 Rock is this Thursday night at 8 on NBC. And, of course, Maxim Magazine's got the January-February 2013 issue out now with Katrina Bowden on newsstands now. You're awesome, Katrina. Thanks so much for coming in. We really enjoyed meeting you.
Thank you for having me.
If you're just waking up, like many Kevin and Bean listeners are, be sure to go to KROQ.com immediately and get caught up on all the announcements regarding Coachella 2013. Tickets are going on sale this Tuesday at 10 a.m., the weekends of April 12th and 19th. The whole lineup is on there, and all the ticket information and camping and parking and hotels and all that good kind of stuff, so definitely check it out. It's Friday. Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat right now. What's going on?
Big, big controversy. Big, big story.
Uh-oh.
But before I get to it, how's that for a tease?
Whoa!
Yeah! How about I give away some tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Warm Bodies?
Yay!
This is the Zom rom-com, the zombie romantic comedy about Nicholas Holt as a zombie who falls in love with the girlfriend of one of his victims after eating him. And her love starts to bring him back to being a real live boy. Just like
that can happen. You don't
know,
man.
It's very well done to me.
It does to me, too. John Malkovich also stars in the film, along with Teresa Palmer. You'll get to see it, but much, much more. You'll get to attend the red carpet world premiere of Warm Bodies, January the 29th at the Cinerama Dome. Boy, it's a good place to see a movie. Warm Bodies in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 1st, but you'll be one of the first people to see it, and you'll be on the red carpet, or you'll see the red carpet at least, from a distance behind a velvet rope where they'll keep you penned up like the animals that you are. If you'd like to go, why not? Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. 5 winners will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet premiere of Warm Bodies. All right, now on to that blockbuster story I was telling you about. This comes from TMZ.com. Apparently 9 former American Idol contestants have all banded together to sue American Idol.
Is that right? For what?
Well, they all happen to be black former contestants, Kevin, and they are suing American Idol because they claim they were forced off of American Idol as a racist plot to boost ratings.
What?
Aha! Yes!
A racist plot to boost ratings? So if they get kicked off, more white people will watch?
I have no idea.
Is that what they're trying to say?
I am puzzled because if I think about past seasons of American Idol, I mean, of course, there's already been a black winner, mm-hmm. but there's been tons of African-American contestants who have made it into the top 10 and top 5 even.
There's a lawyer named James Freeman who is suing American Idol on behalf of his clients, including Jermaine Jones, who was kicked off American Idol on March 15th, 2012, because producers claimed Jones had failed to inform them he had multiple outstanding warrants for his arrest.
Okay.
Turns out 8 other black contestants were also eliminated from competition for similar reasons. But Freeman says that's not the case at all. It is actually, in his quotes, not mine, a cruel and inhuman scheme to exploit and humiliate black contestants for ratings.
So he didn't have any warrants out for his arrest?
Well, sure, he did, Lisa. But,
I was confused.
But Freeman is claiming that it may be a violation of California employment law since his clients were essentially applying for employment with American Idol. You can't ask potential employees about their arrest histories.
You can't?
No.
Okay, if that's true, that's a legitimate conversation. But that doesn't mean that somebody's being kicked off because they're black.
Are they an employee?
Apparently, the information was ill-gotten, he claims, from private investigators working for American Idol who look into the backgrounds of their contestants.
Any employer can do that.
This sounds shaky.
Sure, but these people are black.
Right.
You're missing my point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't get it.
The lawyer says that American Idol is trying to perpetuate destructive stereotypes about black people, trying to paint them as violent criminals, liars, and sexual deviants.
Look, Jennifer Hudson shivved the guy, remember?
Why are these keeping us
down? Jennifer Hudson shivved that guy. They still let her sing, so clearly it's not for everybody.
I don't think that happened.
Well, they did kick off Frenchie because she had done that porn site.
Right.
That's true.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Stop it. That's what I'm trying to say. Maybe they weren't as good singers as the other people, and American Idol, we wouldn't have won American Idol anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Barely.
But to say that American Idol is trying to bring them on the show, get them onto the show, into the top 20 or whatever, and then dismiss them in an effort to make black people look bad and to boost ratings
is dumb.
Is madness.
Yeah, it is.
Black people, black people, black people.
That's madness.
Because first of all, white people already watch American Idol. Tons of them. Lots of little girls. Little white girls are watching American Idol. If you had a popular black contestant, I would think that would add to your audience.
None of this makes
by
sense.
By increasing African-American viewership as they root for an African-American contestant.
I can't fire him. We work for the government, and he's B-L-A-C-K.
Wouldn't that make sense?
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Look, I hate racism. I think there is still cases of actual, real racism in the world.
Right.
You don't need to manufacture it to go look for it in places it doesn't exist.
This cheapens it.
Yeah,
people who actually have to deal with it.
We'll see what happens, but we'll see what happens with the lawsuit.
Push on, black man, push on.
Yeah. Stop it.
Producers, needless to say, are shocked by what they're calling ridiculous allegations. We treat everybody the same no matter race, religion, or sex.
They're mean to everyone on that show.
That's right. They should force out the gay dudes. That's what I'm saying. That's how you get
that's
the people
not the
to
point.
Watch.
No, yes. That's not. That's
get
not.
Get rid
the point.
Of the
that's
keep the blacks
the
get rid of the gays.
Oh
right?
Come on, those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, Clay Aiken. Come on, could have saved us a lot of pain with that Clay Aiken. They'd just done the right thing. But, yeah.
By the way, Clay Aiken, who lost to a black guy, I want to remind
that's
you.
That's right.
Season.
Good point.
While we're talking about TMZ, I was perusing it just moments ago before I came in here, and it looks like porn star Kim Kardashian is drawing a hard line in the sand when it comes to her divorce, her pending divorce, or annulment,
yes.
Or however it shakes down with her husband, Chris Humphries. Not only is she refusing to pay Chris Humphries a dime, according to TMZ, but she's demanding that he cover all of her attorney's fees.
This is going to go to court.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Come on.
Bring it. Bring it.
I would love it.
As TMZ first reported, Humphries demanded $7 million to walk away from their marriage, but she said no, she's not going to pay him. Now she's saying not only will she not give him any money, he's got to pay her.
Doesn't she make $7 million in a weekend?
Ralph, wouldn't it be worth it just to get this thing over with?
Her unborn fetus has $7 million right now in its pocket inside her uterus.
Why is it wearing pants?
Well, because it's a modest fetus. By the way, they're opening up at Coachella, day two, modest fetus, and they're very, very good, so check them out. So there's some updates from TMZ, some good stuff on there. You may have to go over and check out our buddy Harvey's website, because they always have the best entertainment news. I mean, other than mine, of course.
Of course, yeah. But theirs is reliable.
Hey, what the?
So.
Congratulations to J.J. Abrams. That's the big showbiz story today. It hasn't been officially confirmed yet, but it does look like J.J. is nearing a deal to direct the 7th installment of the Star Wars franchise.
What happened now?
What happened?
That's what he wants to know.
J.J. already is running the Star Trek franchise, and now Hollywood will put the second biggest science fiction franchise in his capable hands if he starts directing number 7.
I don't care who you are or what you've done.
All right, then I'm going to leave.
It's got to
be there's more to this? Okay.
A shocker to have Star Wars put in your lap.
Yeah. That's a big deal. Especially a guy like J.J., who is of the generation that grew up adoring that film, and he's often said it's one of his favorite films of all time. Now you get to be the guy that controls the future.
That's crazy.
Of the Jedis.
Well, we haven't heard from Roland, so I assume that the nerds are happy with his choice.
Well, from what I've seen on the internet, I haven't seen Roland's response, but I've seen the response of many, and they all seem very pleased with the guy who gave us Fringe and Lost, and Alias, and Star Trek, now in charge of Star Wars. He certainly has a legitimate sci-fi fantasy legacy, a background on which to build on.
Can't
Cloverfield, I like that movie too.
Can't think of a better guy.
I'm a little shaky, but that was good.
Hold the camera still, but other than that.
Listen, people, you only have a couple hours if you're going to make this thing. I want to let you know Jimmy Kimmel, our good friend and late night TV star, is getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m. at 6840 Hollywood Boulevard. It's right there in front of the El Capitan Entertainment Center. You know where the theater is there on Hollywood Boulevard. And that's where Jimmy, of course, shoots his late night show as well.
I've heard that he is a real jerk.
No, he's a very nice man. And it's nice that he's getting this honor. And I'm extremely happy for him. And I'm glad he merely had to ask somebody. And I spent 7 years getting Adam West. I'm glad that that all worked out that way. Glad that everybody got what was coming to them. Actually, I'll tell you something. Well, not many people know this, but while I was trying to get Adam West his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and failed year after year after year, I finally went to Mr. James Kimmel and I said, "Hey, Jim, you're a big deal. You shoot your show there in Hollywood and right there on Hollywood Boulevard, where the Walk of Fame is." And I said, "They would probably listen to you. Could you write me a letter on Adam West's behalf that
really?
I could submit with the application?" We got one from Conan O'Brien. We got it from a bunch of people who had worked with Adam who were on his side. And I asked Jimmy if he would write a letter of recommendation. And he said, sure. And he wrote one. And it was that year when we submitted that along with the application that we did get the star. So, look, the man's got sway.
Is he running Hollywood now?
I think he may be.
Wow.
He may be a young Johnny Grant. That's what I'm saying. I
love that.
So, anyway, congratulations to Jimmy. And if you want to see Jimmy get his star, head on down there. 11:30 a.m. is when it's all scheduled for. All right. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. January the 25th, Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty and Hung is 42 years old today. Two of the stars of The Vampire Diaries are celebrating their birthdays today. Mia Kirshner is 38 years old and Michael Trevino turns 28. Christine Lakin from Step by Step, she's 34 years old today. And Alicia Keys celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday with former lightweight champ of the UFC, Frankie Edgar, in our studios, talking about his upcoming fight with Jose Aldo. So we'll see you on Monday.
I didn't think Kevin was going to get that out. How about you?
He did. Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Jim Arden.
Pass it over to me.
Yes or no?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I think, frankly, you're out of line with that question.
Roll another one.
What is sadomasochism?
Just like the other one.
I'm not going to talk to you.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Wait. And it's snowing like that.
I need another hit.
Hello. This weekend is a time to get together with family and friends, kick back, and enjoy a little time off. And I hope that's exactly what all of you do.
You are very observant, Lisa.
Roll, roll, roll.
morning reasons why I drink.
I don't have another sip.
Nobody cares, asshole.
But the bodyguard that joins.
And he is the head that eats the crayons.
Just pass it around.
Stop sucking ass.
Everybody still awake? All right, big fish.
Pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
You stupid, f***ing replaceable listeners, the Mark and Brian radio program is over. We're not coming back. It's done. Some of you email me and request permission to enter. There's nothing to enter. The room of brilliance is dark. It's dead. It's over. The Mark and Brian radio program is over.
I've heard that he is a real jerk.
My balls. Take them. Hold them, rub them, love them, and then eat them. Eat all of my balls.
To put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.